soybeans coming out.
Okay. Oh, they're on hold.
They're on hold.
Hey, how can we need 195 when they've already signed the contract?
Pardon me?
How can we need 195 when they've already signed the contract?
They have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's cool.
The meeting of the Transportation Advisory Contingency Group will come to order. And Representative Magnus tells me it's too wet to combine the soybeans, so it's better to be here today, Representative Magnus. Welcome back, everyone. I think that in a few moments what we'll do is that we will go through the document provided by the department with the answers to a set of questions asked at the last meeting. And then, but before that point, I think... Senator Pogba, I'd like to call on you. I think you have a couple questions.
Commissioner Hansen, do you have a sec?
Sitting by me, it's nice to hear.
Commissioner.
Oh, let's let him identify himself for the record.
Madam Speaker, members of the committee, I'm Tom Hansen, Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Finance.
Commissioner, as you know, last week, both informally and formally, I've been kind of telling you that I'd, at least from my perspective, I'd like to do what we can do to be helpful here in terms of, for the good of the order, keep things moving. And now I'm in the, kind of the tricky situation of, I kind of thought Representative Magnus was right last week when he said this $195 million is for the bridge, but it's pretty clear sitting here today now that the $195 million isn't for the bridge. And the reason is because we've now apparently encumbered and signed a contract, which I no problem with that. But you didn't need us to do anything to encumber the money for the bridge. It's pretty apparent now. Correct? Or am I missing something? Because you have apparently now encumbered, I guess I'm asking, have you encumbered $234 million?
Yes. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor and Commissioner Malnow.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and Mr. Chair. I can tell you that, yes, we have encumbered the $234 million. The reason we're here, however, is our understanding was that most people's expectation was that we would do the bridge as well as being able to move forward our projects that are in the queue for 2008. And to do that and do the bridge, we need to be here. If you would like us not, I mean, that is your decision, whether you give us the authority to be able to include the bridge or the federal dollar spending that will come to us for the bridge and give us the authority to spend those dollars, we would be able to keep our program whole for 2008. If not, however, we will have to make those adjustments because we will not have the authority to do both. But okay. Yes, we did encumber the bridge yesterday.
Yesterday or Friday?
Actually, probably yesterday with the signing.
I was under the understanding that it had both to be done in your department and by finance. Is that correct, Commissioner of Finance?
Commissioner Hansen? Mr. Showalter.
Chairman, my name is Jim Showalter, State Budget Director at the Department of Finance. In terms of an encumbrance, the process would be typically that we run the statewide accounting system, also known as MAPS. An encumbrance would be entered into that system, so technically it is entered into a system that is managed by finance, but that encumbrance process would have been originated over at the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
And we would have been notified by it.
It would show up in our statewide accounting system information, yes.
So,
Senator Pogemiller.
So the Department of Transportation can make that decision without the Commissioner of Finance's sign-off?
Chairman, the encumbrance would be taken against the authority, the spending authority, budget authority, appropriation authority that's available in that account. To the extent that that authority is there, They can enter into contracts up to that amount. To the extent that they don't have enough authority, then no, you wouldn't be able to encumber against that amount. So a simple example, if there's $100 million of authority and there's a $120 million contract you want to enter, you can't do that. The system wouldn't allow that.
Well,
in this instance, if it's something less than that amount that's available, yes, you would be able to.
Senator Pugmiller.
They have the authority in the Trunk Highway Fund, apparently. They have 400 and whatever that number was. So you don't question that they had the authority to encumber it. They've done it, and they didn't need Commissioner Finance's approval to do it.
They don't have the authority to encumber and continue their whole program, the rest of their program. That's the point. Had the encumbrance waited till this process was done, then you could do both. But by going forward, MnDOT has anticipated or hope that the committee will approve their actions.
So
if not, we have to delay the lettings.
So MnDOT decided that this project was more important than other projects by their act.
MnDOT made the decision. I didn't.
Commissioner, you decided, or somebody in MnDOT, I don't know if it's you or the governor, somebody decided, who decided, Commissioner, that encumbering this money rather than those other projects was the right thing to do now?
I think that was a joint effort. We took a lot of input from the city of Minneapolis, looking at the financial downside of having a gap in the interstate system. We talked to our federal folks as well. So I think a lot of folks decided that we needed to put a priority on a bridge that was negatively impacting people's commutes and lives right now and fill that gap as quickly as possible. That's the expectation at the federal level. It's also the expectation at the state level by the citizens of the state.
So did the citizens make that decision, or did somebody make this decision? Because we haven't. I mean, we're still trying to figure out why you need the 195. Commissioner, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what it is we're being asked to sign off on. Because it's pretty clear right now that bridge was going to be built regardless of what this group does. Is that unclear to you? I mean, that's pretty clear. The decision was going to be made, and I think you said last week that this bridge was going to be built.
Yes.
Lieutenant Governor, yeah. Commissioner.
Thank you. Yes, the priority was for this bridge to be built. The opportunity for us to maintain our 2008 programming and build a bridge that we had not had in our program, nor could have anticipated having in the program, because the thought process was that all of us wanted to move our regular program forward and be able to take care of the I-35 bridge. We needed to have authority from you to increase my ability to be able to do that.
Okay, so
I don't have the authority to do both.
Okay.
Senator Pogamiller.
So I just so we know where we're at here, would you agree with the statement that it is clear that regardless of what this group does, the I-35 bridge is going to be rebuilt?
That's correct. But the second part to that is whether other projects will have to be delayed because the decision here is in the negative.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to whoever can answer this question, because it's my understanding that the Transportation Contingency Committee only has within its purview the ability to allow the administration and MnDOT to spend any excess funds that the federal government sends us or gives us the ability to spend, meaning the $195,000 that's in the pipeline today. So really, that's the only authorization we're charged with that I understand, and that's what the administration and MnDOT's here for, is to say when the $195,000 becomes available, do they have the authority to use it? Is that not what we're charged with?
Madam Chair.
Senator Pogamiller.
Senator Humboldt, I think this is the point. We are not being asked to put $195 million in anticipation of federal funds. The decision's already been made to make that expenditure.
So
So you kind of got to ask, what are we being asked to do, and do we have the authority to do it? And I want to make this absolutely clear. I'm taking some heat from some of the members in the Senate, frankly. I really badly want to do something to be helpful here. But I'm kind of now in a position where it's... we need to work through this, because Commissioner, I kind of was working off the assumption that what you told us last Thursday was that the contract was a week or two away. But it appears the contract was not a week or two away. So be it.
As I found out, Senator.
Pardon?
As I found out as well.
Okay.
Senator Youngbaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess as Senator Cohen had talked about two in the past, I mean, we talked about a number of things and we got a number of things out on the table, but... Congressman Oberstar had made statements about what in the heck are we doing in Minnesota to authorize this ability. But if we don't authorize the expenditure of the $195,000, then my biggest question as a follow-up to that, Senator Pogamiller, would be, then are we telling the federal government we don't care if it comes? And do they have the authority to even draw on that if we don't give them the authority to, if that money's not appropriated? I'm really Miller? Confused
or,
now, Senator Pogamiller, Madam Chair.
Senator Youngberg, they've already set aside the money. We're solid with the feds, except for the additional money that we all will want to request, the extra 145 or whatever it is. But aside from that, they have already set aside the money on behalf of the federal amount.
No.
So that's not why we're here. We don't need, the feds aren't waiting for us to do anything.
Senator Youngbauer.
Madam Chair and Senator Pogamiller, then that would definitely beg the question, because without that additional appropriation authority, then what projects do get shut down and who got harmed in the process, I guess, on those, because that's where that's going.
So I think it's important to summarize where we are right now, because things did change yesterday, and maybe Commissioner Hansen, you can disagree with me after I summarize if I have this completely off, but by the department's action of signing the contract and encumbering the money, they have made an affirmative decision to use what they do have as their authority for their appropriation, for this contract, for the I-35W bridge rebuild. What is left in question is the rest of their 2008 program that may or may not have enough funds left in their ability to appropriate. And so, unlike the intro to the Minnesota Public Radio program that Senator Youngbaum and Senator Murphy were on this morning, where I heard my good friend Gary Eichten say, well, will they or won't they fund the I-35W bridge in the legislature? It would seem, in summary, that that decision has been affirmatively acted on by the department as of yesterday. Commissioner?
If I might, thank you, Madam Chair. What you're talking about is our ability to access the $195 million and giving us the authority, the authority to be able to spend that. If the authority does not come from this group or the LAC, the sign-off, then we would have to use dollars that were going to be used for the other program. So really, what we're really saying here is, yes, we signed the contract, which we should do, to move the I-35 bridge forward. Where those dollars come from, because we know that the federal government has another $195 million we can access. They did that. The congressional delegation did a wonderful job moving those dollars and making them available to us. But I cannot spend those dollars and add that on top of what our program is, unless the authorization comes from you folks. And that's what we're asking for, is the ability to access those dollars and add that amount to the program so that our 2008 contracts can go out. If you don't approve that, I will have to use the authority I have for the 2008 projects to build this bridge. So we're asking you for the authority to be able to accept the federal money or spend the federal money and apply it to this.
So, Commissioner and Lieutenant Governor Mollnow, is or isn't it true that right now, by your action yesterday, you have the ability to accept the federal money in your budget?
No, that's not true, Madam Chair. That's not true. I only can spend the money you folks authorized me to spend in the budget last budget session. I can't take in, we can claim all those dollars we want. I can't spend them because you haven't given me the authority. That's why we're here today.
So, Commissioner, would Congress view it that you are supplanting the money set aside for the bridge to actually spend it on other projects then?
No,
I mean, is that
Madam
the
Chair,
way would
that's
do this?
Not possible. I cannot access the money in that account without having invoiced, without doing the paperwork and actually paying the invoice on the bridge. It has to be approved on this project because that's what it's designated for. I cannot spend it for anything else. They have to approve the invoice as it comes from this project and clean up whatever to be able to reimburse our account.
So, Commissioner and Lieutenant Governor, if this committee did not take an affirmative action, what would you do then? Would you be able to get reimbursement for those costs?
Yes.
Okay.
I just can't exceed the amount of dollars you said I could spend in the last budget.
Thank you. That's what we're looking for here. And then, Commissioner, I have one other follow-up, and then I'll call on Representative Magnus. Why sign the contract yesterday?
If we're going to move this contract forward and get the I-35 bridge built, which everyone said needed to be in a timely, and get it done through the next construction season, then we had to move forward. We were on a fast track. That was no secret from the very beginning that we would do that. We were waiting for admin to approve the contract, the Federal Highway Administration to look it over and give us their approval, and then get the award out yesterday, or the successful folks to sign with us to initiate that. The sooner we do that, the sooner the project is allowed to begin. They can't begin without that.
And Commissioner, I just want to follow up on that. I like you, are a country kid, and we're not attorneys. So was there any legal reason after the Department of Admin cleared or dismissed the protest to immediately sign the contract? Was there any legal reason to do that yesterday?
I don't know if there's a legal reason, but if you want to start the project, you need to have the contract signed.
Okay, so it didn't.
And our idea was to start the project.
So, Commissioner, it didn't block any further appeal by the protesting contractors or anything like that?
No, it's my understanding, and I may be wrong on this. I did read the whole brief, of course, but I don't know if they have other legal action in court action they can take, which could happen anyway, and what they would be seeking are damages, I assume.
Okay. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I think I should make an attempt to add a summary, too. As I was trying to jump in when Senator Pogra Miller was talking about the issue, and last Thursday when we ended the meeting, my friend Representative Leader said, "We're going to do the bridge regardless." I mean, it's out. We're going to do the bridge. And right, Bernie? I mean, that's what you said. And you know, with that statement, I think it, and I agree with him. As I said last Thursday, we've got a major hole in our transportation system, 141,000 vehicles a day. And it's costing us, to their estimates, $400,000 a day. So the priority is the I-35 bridge. By MnDOT doing this work, they've indicated all along basically that's a priority to them. Number one priority in the state. Number one priority in the state, rebuild the bridge. So then I go back to where the statute here affects us and is the reason we're here in our meeting. MnDOT, according to the information they passed out last week, has a fiscal year 2008 base appropriation of $551 million that they can spend without any action from us. And the priorities that they determine, I don't believe we prioritize the projects for them. I've tried to get some of that language included in the law, not been successful, but but we don't prioritize them. And they have to manage their program. They have to fill in federal earmarks and everything else. So they have to work at prioritizing this and do their job. I'll go back to the statute again here that we handed out the first day and why we're here. To take advantage of unanticipated receipt of income to the Trunk Highway Fund or take advantage of federal advanced construction funding. That's why we're here. MnDOT, without any action from us, can only spend $551 million. I think we're in agreement on that. And for them to spend more than that, we have to agree to. That was passed in the transportation bill last year.
Representative Solberg.
Madam Speaker, Madam Chair, and Lieutenant Governor Molno. We've had testimony that the bridge doesn't cost $235 or $232, whatever that contract you signed, but it costs nearly $400 million, $393 million, I think is the total account, with all the rest of the contingencies. And I know some of that is coming from Minneapolis and so forth. There are some. But I think in the memo, I thought you were like $143 million short. And the Commissioner of Finance said, well, we're going to present a plan to the legislature. That's probably at this particular point what some people, and I'll refer to this a little bit later on, as monopoly money as well. By signing this contract, have you then committed $393 million?
Madam Speaker and Representative, no, we have not. The costs of cleanup, the costs of the whole collapse of the I-35 bridge is estimated at this point to be $395 million. The $234 million for the contract is the actual building of the contract. The other portion are not dollars that we've necessarily, they will be encumbered. They can be applied to those same funds, the ER funds, and we can apply and get reimbursement as we turn in the DDIR. So as the forms are turned in and they're analyzed by the Federal Highway Administration for appropriate nature to the project, they will be reimbursed on that basis. So
Commissioner Solberg and Lieutenant Governor, the 53.4 that's we've gotten a check for, or that you can turn in and actually get reimbursed for,
yes,
at this particular point, has been appropriated money from Congress. Not authorized, but authorized and appropriated.
Actually, it was authorized by Congress. The Federal Highway Administration, knowing there was a authorization for $250 million, advanced and put in our account $55 million that we could access for use for the bridge collapse.
But Madam Chair, Madam Speaker, and Lieutenant Governor Molno, that $55 million was actually appropriated by Congress as well. Not just authorized, but authorized and appropriated as part of other emergency funds.
Madam Speaker, and Representative, you're correct. They each year they put $100 million in to meet these kinds of emergency needs. They did have over $200 million in the account, and therefore, because there was an authorization for $250 for Minnesota, even though it hadn't been appropriated yet specifically to Minnesota, they were able to use funds that were in the existing ER account. You're correct there. Yes.
But, Madam Speaker, and Lieutenant Governor, if you've signed a contract for $234 million and you are now going to use up $53.4 million of that because it's going to be actually much more for the cleanup than anticipated, that $53.4 that's left is probably not enough for what the obligations you've got sitting out there already, the removal of the debris, all the other things that are associated with that. And I know you can apply for FEMA funds and so forth, but prudent managers, some or another, have a contingency plan. And my dad always said, you know, make sure that you don't spend more money than what you got and have a little bit extra in the bank in case you have something come up that's unforeseen. So it seems to me that you've got, even though we haven't gotten a dime of money appropriated yet from Congress, you have at least committed already $287.4 million of the $250. So you've got at least some gap in there that you're going to have to take from the other funds. And I want to know what kind of a plan you have in place to be able to manage that.
I can have our finance director come up here, and that's probably who should be here, Kevin Gray. But what I can tell you is there's nobody who would have anticipated in a one-year span of time that we would have needed to upfront in a contingency fund $395 million that were not in programmed at all, that could not be used for anything but saved for an emergency. There's no one.
Madam Speaker and Lieutenant Governor, I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. I understand that. But a prudent manager also has some contingency plans in place at this particular point. What is bothering me the most of this whole process is I want to go back a little bit, if I may, Madam Speaker, to the April 15th meeting and also August 15th, I'm sorry, meeting, and the quotes that were made there and the letter that was given to the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader in the Senate by the Governor. And the impression that they left, and we went over this a little bit last time, that everything was fine. We don't need any additional authority, I think, is the word that was used. We don't need any additional authority. We will use the budget authority you appropriated to MnDOT for the state road construction budget. Now, I know there's a caveat in there. However, additional budget authority will be needed to continue the regular scheduled program. So you knew that in August 15th. Somebody knew it by August 15th. Either that or the department is more incompetent than what I think they are. And that's a judgment call on my part. But I've listened to this for, this is the third meeting on this now, and it's just our fourth meeting because I've attended a couple of them in August. And it just doesn't, nothing's making sense to me. So you knew it before August 15th that you needed some additional authority. We appropriated the 15.3 of your money in the special session.
55 million.
Well, 55 million. Or it 53. It was there.
Yeah, you're right.
I just don't understand why, from at least shortly after August 1st, to the special session, this couldn't have been taken care of in a two-second appropriation. I could have done this on the fly in the House. And I'm not very competent.
Madam Speaker, if I might just respond to that. I think what Representative Solberg is saying is that why wasn't it included in the special session? I think that's what you're asking. And I will tell you, and I'm sorry Senator Pogamiller's gone, and I know Chair Anderson was in those negotiations, and believe me, if you weren't, then I'm sorry, but I do know that they did try to negotiate this portion for the I-35 bridge in the special session. But the Senate, however, believed that they needed more than just taking care of
the floods.
Well,
Madam Chair, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Representative Solberg.
I think that may not be the case because the legislature makes that determination of what the appropriation is. And if I'd have been known that this was the case, we could have had this. I said I could do this on a fly on the House floor in an amendment I could make up. But, you know, there's another thing that bothers me in this whole thing. And that is we have the authorization from Congress. We don't have a dime from them yet, except the 55, and they've already collected $1.7 million of that, I understand. Today's paper, your department says the rescissions, which I understand is the right thing for you to do, because that's what Congress authorizes. Then they authorize $1 billion, and then they appropriate $750 million, and you were planning, you said, well, we got $1 billion coming in. Authorization, oh, we only got $750 million appropriation, so we got to rescind some things. And it says the rescissions, they know it represents dollars allocated to the states, but not actually spent by Congress, not appropriated by Congress, rather than money returned to the federal government. So they're not appropriated. It's in quotation marks, it's monopoly money, said Brad Hansen, federal relations manager for the Department of Transportation. It's not real money. When we talk about the $250 million appropriated, if it would have been appropriated and not just authorized, I'd feel very comfortable with this process. But I'm with Senator Cohen. I'm with my dad, saying don't spend money you don't have yet. I try to tell my wife that when I take the credit cards away from her.
Oh,
and she takes
Solberg.
It away from me, too, because I haven't learned that lesson really well. But it bothers me to no end. And the law, if we look at the law that we're working under, it doesn't say money that can be authorized by Congress, but money received, unanticipated receipts. I go to my bank and I say, you know, the money's in the mail, checks in the mail. Oh, when is it going to be in there? I don't know. Maybe March. Let me spend it now. If the Congress had appropriated the money, then I'd be with you and my good friend here on receipts, because he said that several times. Money is were authority to receipt. Unanticipated receipts.
Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Going back to the August 15th testimony again, and we disagree a little bit on that because I'm trying to figure out. I think we have different copies or something. I have.
I get the same.
But in regards to MnDOT's testimony on the funds, and I think we have that in our possession, and I think we need to quote the whole testimony when we do it. When they said they do have funds, but if we don't get the federal funds in as anticipated, we're going to have to cut projects, and they were clear about that again 2 weeks after the bridge failed. Okay. And they were clear about that in the testimony that my friend here quoted. The second point is in the first documents we got from MnDOT, the estimated cost for the bridge and related cost impacts. The bridge is $234 million. Incentives capped at 27. We don't know yet today what that amount would be. Other costs, including possible right-of-way agreements and environmental mitigations, $59 million, for a total of $320 million, not $395 million, or $93 million. The rest of the money comes in from bridge demolition. Obviously, we've got to drag the bridge. Remove that. Get it out. Traffic flow, traffic restoration, get that going, $20 million. Those costs that we have had because of the bridge failure. And Madam Chair, you're a farm gal.
I am.
You grew up?
Yes.
And, you know, other folks claim to be farmers, and we talk about anticipated receipts. Every year, Madam Chair, I borrow money to put the crop in. Mm-hmm. From the bank, and I go to the bank and said, I'm going to pay you back when I harvest the crop. Mm-hmm. In this case, when the federals give those folks the money. It's no different than sitting on my farm, going to the bank and asking them if I can borrow some money to put my crop in until I get the crops harvested, which I'm having a hard time doing. All the meetings are happening, by the way. I mean, you know what?
A little wet
Sober,
today,
you know that.
Magnus.
When you borrow the money for your house, what do you pledge for collateral? I'm going to put the house up, you know, and I'm going to make you payments. And the bank's going to say, how are you going to do that? Because when I go in to borrow the money to put my crops in, the bank's going to want to know how are you going to do that? How are you going to pay it back? You know, what's your situation? What are you putting up? I tell them the crop. In this case, the federal funds coming in. I don't see any difference in it.
Well, Representative Magnus, I think that people, your banker and you, probably trust each other a whole lot more than we trust the federal government now to actually come through on the money.
And again, Madam Speaker, going back again to the first documents we handed out, first day we met from Matt Massman, from Bonnie Berzovsky to Senator Pogamiller, outlining at least three times in the past where we've had this situation. December 2000, an appropriation increase of $90 million. Requested to take advantage of a Federal Highway Administration, FHWA, authorized financing technique called advanced construction. That was approved. In December of 2002, there was a request to increase the appropriation authority by $296 million to take advantage of an extension of the federal AC financing team. This was all money coming in from the federal government. December 2006, the latest one, there was a request to approve $80 million, including $13 million of AC funds, $27 million of federal high-priority project funds, and $40 million from the Trunk Highway Fund balance. So we're not plowing new ground here. This has happened three times, according to the information that we were provided from the Senate.
When did this statute pass that we're working under today?
I'm not talking about that statute, Madam Speaker. I'm asking you a question. Federal.
When did the statute that we're working under today pass?
The statute passed the last day of session.
Thank you. 2007, correct?
2007.
Thank you. Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I was kind of... but... We heard loud and clear from the department that this has nothing to do with unanticipated receipt of federal fund. This is strictly a spending authority and a cash flow issue. They need the cash flow so that we don't have to delay projects that are going to be left in
the Madam Chair,
Lieutenant Governor,
Senator,
Commissioner.
That's not exactly what you heard. The anticipation of receiving the remainder of the 10250, which is $195 million from the federal government, giving us the authority to spend that and apply that towards the cost is exactly mm-hmm. what we're asking for, and the authority to be able to expand.
Mm-hmm.
The other part, Congressman Obestar and the whole Minnesota delegation is very committed to delivering these dollars to the state of Minnesota. We've received several letters and correspondence and contacts with Congressman Oberstar's office, and he assures us those dollars will be available to the state of Minnesota, and I believe him.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chair, thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for at least one voice in the administration having a little bit of faith in our federal delegation. With that, once again, this is what I heard clearly. Clearly, the bridge is going to get built regardless. And I thought I also heard, and Mr. Hansen, correct me if I'm wrong here, but as long as if you're below the spending level, and the federal money comes in, say, in December, what are you going to do with it?
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, if we are below, I mean, you're talking, I think you're asking if the trunk highway fund is below zero?
No, if it's below its spending, its authorized spending limit, and this would push it to 700 and,
okay,
what is it, 53 million, yeah, is that?
551 now, Steve.
551 currently, are you talking about?
Well, it was 551, and then we authorized another 55.
53 million.
And now we want another 195 to push it up to 761 million. So right now we're at the 616 level, and we're actually below that authority because there's contracts that haven't been signed and haven't went out the door. Okay. So we're below the limit. Say federal money comes in at $85 million, the first check they give us. What's going to happen with that check?
Commissioner Hansen.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, if you're assuming that the federal government will say for they're going to approve $85 million only, or you're just they approve the $195 and we get a sum of $85 first?
Madam Chair, Commissioner, we have receipts worth $85 million. We turn them over to the federal government. The $85 million comes back. What are you going to do with it?
Well, it gets deposited in the trunk highway account.
Commissioner, and can you say that a little louder? It's a little soft.
I'm sorry, Madam Speaker. It would get deposited in the trunk highway account.
And, Madam Chairman, Commissioner, it gets deposited in the trunk highway account. And does the commissioner of the Department of Transportation have the authority to spend that money just like they would if it was money that you paid for your tabs, for example, that is deposited into the same account?
Commissioner Hansen or Commissioner Molnow?
If the dollars are below what are not above what you've authorized me to be able to spend, mm-hmm, yes, we can use them.
Okay, so
Senator Murphy.
So, Madam Speaker, I think you see where I'm going here. So as the federal money comes in, as long as we're below the 616 or the $761 million, as long as we're below that level,
yes,
you can spend the federal money.
Commissioners?
Yeah, as long, it's my understanding, Madam Speaker, mm-hmm, and Senator, as long as we are below what I'm authorized to spend,
right,
but the other side to that, I can receive the money. The other side to that, however, is I cannot have obligations. I cannot sign,
right,
other obligations.
No, I understand
beyond
that.
Beyond that, mm-hmm, authority.
And thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you, Lieutenant Governor. I understand that. So what we're actually talking about is the 2008 programming that hasn't been let yet.
That's correct.
So we need an increase of spending authority of 761. We need to move that level up to 761 million so that we can continue with the full 2008 program. Or is the number south of that someplace? What I'm getting at is, Lieutenant Governor, is what is the lowest amount of spending authority that we have to authorize so that there's no delay in the 08 letting?
If I might, Madam Speaker and Senator, if I might have Kevin Gray come up and answer that for
okay,
you.
Sure.
Because he can give you the timeline and the, mm-hmm, exact amounts that you're asking about.
Mr. Gray, welcome back.
Sorry.
Madam Speakers and members of the committee, when we start dealing with gross amounts and dollars here, I just want to make sure
identify
that I'm on
yourself,
the same page as
Mr.
Senator
Gray,
Murphy.
If you could identify yourself for the record.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Kevin Gray, Chief Financial Officer for MnDOT.
Thank you.
There's been a lot of information shared and back and forth so far today, and largely, depending upon perspective, it's been very accurate, but that's the confusing part, that if you're close, you may or may not be right on. But with respect to this year's appropriation, we have testified consistently that we need $145 million in order to keep our current program going, in addition to our upfront commitment to the bridge being the highest priority and the first priority to award. I think that with respect to the LAC, we did very specifically ask for the money that Congress appropriated or authorized for us for the replacement and repair and of the of the I-35W bridge. From a timing perspective, the initial request was processed, I believe, over a month ago. And in that interim time, we've made some significant progress on the readiness and to award the contract. So we are currently using existing appropriation authority in order to ensure the expeditious award and construction of the bridge, as the Lieutenant Governor testified. That does leave us with a shortfall in our ability from an appropriation level standpoint, as Senator Murphy has pointed out, to keep our regular projects in the regular program had there not been a collapse. So as we have noted that in fiscal 08, that shortfall from an appropriation authority standpoint, with the information we now have today about the contract costs for the I-35W bridge, is $145 million. And I think that's what we're attempting to add from an appropriation standpoint, if I understood Senator Murphy's suggestion. The LAC request is for $195 million, which is the entire authorized amount of the grant by the federal government.
But
Senator Murphy.
But, Madam Chairman and Mr. Gray, help me with this one then. So basically what you're saying is if we want to keep things going out the door the way that they need to be to ensure that the road construction and bridges get fixed and everything that's on the program list, make sure that that keeps going out the door and build the I-35W bridge, that for fiscal year 08, you need $145 million of spending authority.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, that is correct. And beyond that, we do have the gap of the $143 million of cash that will have to be dealt with in the session as suggested by Commissioner Hansen.
Senator Murphy.
And Madam Chairman, Mr. Gray, that was kind of where I was going. Okay, so now we've got the spending authority. Let's just say it happens. You get the spending authority. Now we don't have enough cash to make everything work. Is that correct? Without a change in the 08 legislature.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, consistent with the handouts that staff walked us through on Thursday and that we worked on together, ultimately we have $393 million of bridge-related impacts and costs that we're absorbing. And at this point, the current authorization level for Congress is $250 million. So ultimately, we have a $143 million gap that needs to be addressed. In the short term, our higher priority in the sense of urgency for the LAC is to ensure that we have appropriation authority to proceed with both the bridge, which is the purpose of the LAC, as well as to maintain the regular program, as the Lieutenant Governor has testified. And that number is $145 million. But ultimately, long-term, you are correct. We have a cash problem that needs to be addressed, and preferably no later than the 2008 session. And that's the commitment, I believe, that Commissioner Hansen referred to.
Right. Right. And
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And Mr. Gray, so in preparation for the 08 legislative session, I think that the fiscal staff over there needs to do some sharpening of the pencils and coming up with a couple good ideas to make sure that what we've got coming in the door is going to be good enough to cover the 08 program. I don't think anybody wants to delay any more projects. I mean, you know, you look around and I think people are tired of delays and inaction. Now, I kind of started this off on a couple things. One was on the on the federal money. I think people are under the assumption that if we don't authorize this, you can't spend federal money. And we just heard the lieutenant governor say that that's not true. We could spend the federal money as long as we're below our spending limit. This has to do more with the spending limit. It needs to go up so that we can encapsulate all the work that needs to be done. With that, I'm left to go back to the chapter of law, Representative Magnus, that we're working under. And that chapter of law doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about now. I mean, it absolutely doesn't. But it does have a lot to do with what Representative Solberg has to say. And this is his quote, "Don't spend what you don't have." I think I heard that a few times growing up. And I'm sure you did too. So what we're talking about here is to increase the authority, and guess what we're going to do? We're authorizing spending that we can't back up. So in the 08 legislative session, we're going to be back trying to figure out how to raise some revenue so that we can keep these programs going out the door, because the I-35W bridge is very important. It's a critical piece of infrastructure in our state. But I'm going through the list, all the representatives, and I think you all went through the list earlier too, and you know, you guys up there in District 1 probably saw a few of those big ticket items that were going to get delayed. Down in our neck of the woods, there'd be the one project that was scheduled would have gotten delayed. So you know, we all have a little skin in this game, but once again, this process and the signing of the contract highlighted where I was at the beginning. I still don't believe that the statutory authority that we're using here is appropriate. But I do believe that if there was a special session of, say, 2 or 3 hours long, and there was a request of $145 million of increased spending authority, and all 201 legislators got to vote on what I believe is our jobs to do, we'd be done in an hour or two. And it wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't need to be doing this. Now, Representative Magnus, even under the old authority for the LAC and those instances that you highlighted, there were members from your own caucus, and I think the letters floated around here, to the governor objecting to the use of the LAC in that manner, because even those Republican lawmakers who were chairs at the time of finance and a few other committees, even they saw that maybe the LAC is getting a little out of hand. I still believe that this is a decision that should be made by all 201 legislators, and that's how I'm going to cast my vote.
Well, Madam Speaker, it was in the
Magnus.
Thank you, and I think the statute is in the law that the bill you put together, Senator Murphy. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, didn't you do the bill that we passed the last night of session that included this special provision in the only provision that I know of in the legislature? If unanticipated funds come in, that have to be approved by this group right here.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thank you, Representative. And, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what part of this is unanticipated. I still haven't figured out what that was all about. But, you know, this is to spend unanticipated federal trunk highway money, and then there's a few other conditions here that don't much apply. But to spend federal highway money, and what are we talking about? Raising authority so that we can spend not only federal money but our own money to continue on the 08 program. That's what I feel that this is about.
Well, Madam Speaker.
Representative Magnus, and then I think there's a couple follow-up questions.
Right, and I agree with Senator Murphy on the numbers here, and we got those the first day we met, and you know, with what we need to appropriate. What we have not talked about
And I think it's an important issue is when we talk about delayed projects, and we've talked about this being the number one priority in the state, but when we talk about not if we don't approve spending of the additional receipts, and MnDOT needs to cut projects, I would expect, and I haven't looked closely at the list, and I don't know how many of those are earmarked projects, but if we don't approve that, then, Madam Speaker, to those of you that aren't on the Transportation Committee, some of those projects are federal earmarked projects. And we're going to be stuck here now not being able, with local and state funds, to provide the match needed to spend those federal funds in those projects. And the reason I bring it up, Madam Chair, is because we've seen a tremendous increase in earmarked projects. In fact, from 1987... in that federal funding bill, there were 153 federal earmarks totaling $832 million. The last one that passed, the 2005 Transportation Fund, the safety, what they call the Safety Lou federal program, federal earmarks of 5,680. They went from 152 earmarks in 1987 to 5,680 earmarks in 2005, totaling $21.7, almost $22 billion. So the folks in Washington are telling our folks and us where to spend the money because they're earmarking the money. And we had
well, Representative Magnus, why don't you introduce a resolution? We can pass it on the House floor to ask them to stop doing that.
Well, I asked so Senator Congressman Loberstar that in this room right here, when he was here, he was good enough to come here and meet with us. And I asked him, do you anticipate that to continue? And he said, yes, he does. So the point I want to make, Madam Speaker, is that by not authorizing the funding here, we are not going to have the money there to match some of the federal earmarked projects. So, and I don't know what those are. Mm-hmm.
Well, Madam Chair,
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. In that regard, Representative Magnus, the state of Minnesota has never failed to take every opportunity to spend every federal dollar. We've not sent any federal money for road and bridge construction. Right, Mr. Gray? Back to the federal government. We've never done that, and I don't think we're ever going to do it, period. Now, Representative Magnus, the other thing, those earmarks you were talking about, you should look at the chart of when it started to go up, and I think it was right after this guy... Yeah, his name was Newt Gingrich, became the Speaker of the House. And then you saw a rapid escalation. But anyway,
okay. here's the reason. Representative Magnus, if we could go back on task. I think some members have some questions to ask of the department.
I need to make sure that Representative Magnus knows what the chart is. And this goes back to what Representative Solberg said. Spend what you don't have. We've been spending what we don't have. It started right over here when we started bonding for a lot of projects instead of coming up with cash. And look where we're at with debt service payments right now. That's a disturbing trend in the upwards direction, and we don't need that.
Right. I agree with you, Steve.
Okay.
Right.
Senator Pogemiller?
Just quick. You said the $145 million in the memo, I think, that we got today, a number yes. five. It says that we would need to identify an estimated $100 million of deferrals. And I'm trying to figure out what the difference between $100 million deferrals is and the $145 you're talking about.
So for members and people following along, it's the packet handed out today, numbered in a large five on the right-hand side. And I believe that Senator Pogemiller is talking about the first paragraph. Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Senator Pogemiller, the attachment 5, Representative Solberg had talked about contingency plans and the like, and this was one of our contingency planning efforts somewhere in late August, very early September. I don't have the exact date. We did send out some guidance suggesting that if the we do not receive additional appropriation authority, but we need to look at possible program delays or deferrals. and this was a planning amount at the time prior to the contract award. And if you go to attachment 7, ultimately that number changed to 140 million. And again, it is the 145 million that we're talking about. But that question was raised offline by a couple of committee members as well, so it is confusing. But this was an early, prior to the bid award, planning figure. Conceptually, it's the same number as the 145.
Thank you.
Okay. And I wanted to follow up on something that Senator Murphy was asking about. So, and I'm sorry, I was getting Mr. Henkel's name. So, when exactly does the department hit the 616 limit? If you tried to sign the contract, like to continue the program, what day do you hit the 616 limit on?
Madam Speaker, without looking at the detailed worksheets, I believe that our guesstimate is somewhere in the February timeframe to reach that level where we would be at a point with the bridge contract award where we would use up all of our existing appropriation authority, which is essentially our base budget authority from the original appropriations bill, $551 million, plus the special session appropriation authority of $53.2
million. So, Mr. Gray, I just want to capture that for all the members here. You will hit the 616 limit somewhere in February. Could you get us an exact date, please? You don't have to do it right now, but maybe by the end of the meeting, I think that'd be helpful.
Madam Speaker,
Commissioner and Lieutenant Governor,
help a bit with that. It's not necessarily when we find that day of hitting that cap. It really has to do with making that decision beforehand. We have to advertise these projects out a few months ahead before the letting. They're not encumbered till we do the letting. So we have to know months ahead. So when that figure will be, so we know which projects to advertise.
And Commissioner, that's all I'm asking for is when you hit that date so that you know the day that under the current program and signing the contract for the bridge, when would that date be hit and what does that mean? Because I think that's maybe slightly different than what we've been talking about here. Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, that's correct. But continuing on the lines of the comment that the Lieutenant Governor made, I think the kind of dual challenge at the time is that if we continue to award contracts, say, through February, as a for instance, and that gets us right up to our appropriation authority, and there is not a certain outcome as to what that appropriation authority is, we're in this awkward position of having to stop all future awards for the balance of the fiscal year, and whether those are the right projects priority-wise, that if there isn't action taken by the legislature, it becomes kind of we've run to the end of our rope and then are left with whatever's left to have to be the projects or the appropriation authority that is canceled or the projects that are canceled to ensure there's sufficient appropriation authority. So I think it's kind of a dual issue of if we go down that path without appropriation authority in a certain manner, we are left with the balance of the projects at whether it's February or March or late January. At some point in time, we hit that mark where we have no existing appropriation authority, and then the other projects are in limbo. And, you know, candidly, would those be the right projects if we were forced to live within our appropriation means, if you will? I think that's the bigger challenge and the risk of awarding projects each month until an answer comes, because the answer comes that there is no increase in appropriation authority. That's not necessarily the best use of the existing appropriation authority that we have. I think that's the kind of the simultaneous balancing act or equation that's going on.
And Mr. Gray, how do you let contracts or let the bids once a month? Is that right? And what day of the month is that?
Madam Speaker, we do typically have lettings once a month, though I think there may be an occasional month where you have a special letting or an exception to that rule. It's typically about the
yesterday third. Would have been a special letting, I take it.
Exactly, Madam
okay.
Speaker.
No, it wasn't. Oh, it wasn't. Okay. But it was special because it wasn't in the normal cycle, I would take it. There's a normal cycle that you go by?
Madam Speaker, we do have a normal, for our regular program, we had a planned letting schedule.
Okay. That's what I'm asking about, Mr. Gray.
Correct, correct. And that is typically, I believe, the third week. It's towards the latter part of the month. And somewhere between 4 and 5 weeks in advance of any letting, we typically have the advertisement so that the contractors can prepare their plans and their bid responses for the letting.
So, for example, just so we understand this, then I have heard the third Thursday of the month usually is when this happens. And so we're coming up on the third Thursday of the month for October. So those contracts would have been advertised 4 to 5 weeks ago. So right now you're in the advertising period for the November, and of course you have Thanksgiving in there, so you probably have something special you have to do there. Just wondering if you could get us a schedule of each month starting in October, November, December, January, and February, of what the scheduled let bid amount would be. Would that be possible, Mr. Gray?
Madam Speaker, I believe that certainly be possible, especially for the next several months.
Okay, that would be very helpful to this group, I believe. Representative Solberg.
Madam Speaker and somebody, in August 15th, the testimony by Ms. McKenzie said that the budget authority were at the beginning of the fiscal year, so the 550, I guess it's 551 or something, you appropriated to the state road budget all but 885 of that is still available. Now, I know you've let the 235, but she also said that not a lot of lettings are this late, but most of them are in the spring of the year. So I think what the speaker is asking for is extremely important information. I don't think of this as the spring, but as the fall. So as you get that information, I would like to know typically then how much you let in the spring of the year, or maybe that was definition of spring is somewhat different as well. But I do have one question for somebody, speaker or something. We let a contract for $234 million, but in that contract there's also an incentive. I think $27 million. Now, you may or may not pay that out, but has somebody encumbered that? Or are you going to try to spend it twice?
Mr. Gray?
Chair, leader, and members, we certainly aren't going to spend the money twice. I don't believe the amount has been encumbered, but it is in part of our planning estimates for the balance of the use of the appropriation.
So, Mr. Chair, then... So as we look at the 250 coming in, and I know that the incentive is part of the 393, so but someone has to be doing some planning in case the legislature just doesn't act at all. I mean, that's been known to happen, particularly in the second year. In the planning, I guess my question is, when would you anticipate encumbering and not spending the $27 million?
Mr. Chair, Leader, Representative Solberg, the $27 million specifically would be encumbered in fiscal 09 because it would not be made available only if the contractor earned the incentive and at the completion of the project, which is would be in fiscal 09. In our planning numbers, to Senator Murphy's point about the appropriation authority we would need to keep the program intact for fiscal 08, we did plan when we arrived at that $145 million of needs. The entire contract for the bridge and the bridge-related costs, the $375 million that applies against the State Road Construction Program, of which $38 million which is the incentive, and or $37 million rather, the $27 million incentives, and some of this post-restoration project work after the bridge is completed and we go back to 280 and 94 and do some of the rework there, that money would be an 09 encumbrance. So when we talk about the $145 million in needs in 08, we have taken into account the total bridge and bridge-related costs as part of being reflected as being used or accommodated by the existing appropriation.
Just Representative Sol.
One follow-up then. And then in the contract that you've already signed, I understand that there's something called the mobilization money up front. It's the money that you give the contractor to secure the site upfront expenses. My good friend here is taught me some things in the last few days. I couldn't remember the name of it, so I had to write it down. But can you tell me how much that is and when that is scheduled to go out?
Ms. Freeze, have you identified yourself for the record? I'm sorry.
Not today.
Please do that.
Chair Kelleher, my name is Lisa Freeze, and I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation. As Representative Solberg, with regard to the mobilization, we have developed a cost curve, a pavement curve for this project. Mobilization is included within the contract amount and has been accounted for in the cash flow analysis that you have been provided with at your previous meetings. So those items have already been taken into account and are reflected in the anticipated cash flow that the department will have with the movement forward of this project.
Representative Solberg.
Can I possibly get an answer to the question of how much it is and when it goes out, that particular thing?
Ms. Freeze, the exact amount of mobilization and when it goes out. Welcome. Identify yourself for the record, please.
John Chiglow, MnDOT, project manager for the 35W bridge replacement project. The mobilization cost is 15% of the contract value. At notice to proceed one, which was granted to the contractor yesterday, they are eligible, upon billing us, they're eligible to be paid 25% of that value. At 10% complete, they are paid 50% of that value, and at 25% complete, they're paid the remaining value of that mobilization.
So could you repeat that for us, please? And I'm sorry, but just exactly how much is the mobilization? Just somebody do the math for me quick here.
$35 million approximately.
Okay, so $35 million, and mm-hmm. if you would again repeat the payout of that, of how that happens for
sure.
us, please.
Madam Chair, at notice to proceed one, the contractors paid 25% of that value, which is approximately a little over $8 million.
So, Madam Chair, that's due right now.
Representative Solberg, or could be, yes.
Could be due right now.
Representative and Madam Chair, upon them billing us, they yes, we would pay that, yes.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
And
they have not
going.
Billed us yet.
Okay. Yep. So let's keep going. So 25% of the $35 million went upon the first billing, and then you said at
10%
complete.
At 10% of the contract, at 10% of the work being completed.
And say your name again.
John.
Yep, I got that
Chiglow.
Part. I don't want to call you John, but I could. Chiglow. Mr. Chiglow. So at 10% complete, I bet you guys have an idea of at approximately what date that should happen in this contract. If you don't have it right now, if you could get it to us at the 10% complete mark, what approximate date that is, that would be helpful to us.
And Madam Chair, that is part of the cash flow payout curve that we've provided you. That's all included in that payout curve. But we can get you those dates.
Separate it out.
Yeah, it's sure. Because, Mr. Chiglo, what we have is an aggregate number. We don't have it broken out by the mobilization payment or what the payments are, and that might be very helpful to this group to know exactly what falls where.
And, Madam Chair, that payment curve is broken out by a monthly basis over the duration of the project.
Okay. And so maybe you could help us by matching up those percentages, the 25%, the 10%, and the remainder, as well as the dates that they correspond to. I think that would be very helpful to the group.
Madam Chair, that's possible. Just please understand that it's a range in a time frame. And
that's terrific. Thank you. That'd be helpful.
Madam Speaker, one additional question for somebody. My understanding, and I said that this is a big learning curve for me, but most contracts of this type have a mobilization cause, have a 10% mobilization cause. Would someone explain if that's true, and if that's the case, why this one is 15?
Mr. Chiglo.
Madam Chair and Representative, our normal contracts have a mobilization of approximately 5%.
Oh.
But because of the expedited nature of this project, we felt it was important to provide that money in a timely manner up front so they could mobilize their forces at a greater speed to start that work at a quicker rate. So that is why we increased that percentage so that they could mobilize quicker. Usually that mobilization is over a longer period of time. And it's not as quickly as, for instance, today, the contractors started working today. And so they have crews out on the site, surveying crews. They have crews that are doing geotechnical work. They have designers. They have their contractors. Their workforce is mobilizing. They need to expedite instead of over months, over days and weeks.
Well, Madam Chair, I understand that, and I'm very glad about that. But if a normal one is 5% and they mobilize quick, they would draw the 5% quicker, too, and instead of a larger amount. It seems that the 15%, well, the 5%, the commissioner says no, but it's you got 25% of the 15%. You got to apply 25% of the 5%. I mean, it would be a smaller number, but when 10% of the work is done, then you would have that as well. So, but I think if we have that detail that the speaker has asked for, it would be very helpful for us.
Mr. Chiglo?
Madam Chair, we can give you the range and time frames we anticipate that payout to occur. But it's also important that, you know, typically this job is going to be built over a 14-month period. And, you know, it's vital that the procurement of materials and other things are paid for up front also. So there's a lot of different elements that need to be taken care of with that mobilization cost in a short period of time, and that's why that percentage has been increased.
Madam Speaker, one other question.
Representative Solberg.
Was this 15% available to all the contractors, including those in-state and out-of-state?
Madam Chair, Representative, this was a provision for all the contractors to take advantage of.
Okay, thank you.
And we felt it was vital to the success of this job to do that.
Okay.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, one last thing.
Yeah.
This is standard in ER projects across the nation that they do this increased mobilization because of the urgency in getting things done in a quick time frame and the importance of having that money up front to pay for some of these actions.
Mr. Chiglo, we want to thank you for your work.
Thank you.
And wish you well on the project. We all want it done very well, so thank you. Why don't we start going through the document that you gave us for today, and I don't know who wants to begin that process.
Madam Speaker, good Mr. afternoon.
Hinkle.
Tim Hinkle, Division Director, Minnesota Department of Transportation. Your first question was one of a couple of questions regarding deferrals of projects related either to the traffic impacts associated with the bridge collapse or deferral planning associated with the 195 LAC request. The first question that we have in response is to the specific question regarding traffic impacts and projects in the area associated with that bridge collapse. I'll refer you to attachment number one. Which provides a list in response to your question. As you can see, we have four projects that have been deferred associated with the traffic flow on alternative routes in the affected area of the 35W bridge. The three of those four projects are trunk highway projects, Interstate 94 specifically, where those were planned lettings for January of 2008 through March of 2008. And then one additional project, which is on Trunk Highway 280, which had been planned for letting in December of fiscal year 2008. Those projects vary from bridge painting projects to mill and overlay projects that needed to be deferred. We also stated in our response that MnDOT intends to proceed with those projects after the new bridge is opened. And so they will are being deferred for a period of time until we can complete this bridge and then move on and back into the regular program.
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, is that a 2009 letting then or a 2010 letting?
Mr. Henkel.
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg. It's my understanding that the Metro District responsible for these projects has not identified specifically yet when those projects would be returned to the program. They will work through that as they update the State Transportation Improvement Program, which will occur over the next 6 months or so. And there they will identify just when those projects can be fit back into the program.
Thank you.
Question. Any other questions on that? Okay, Mr. Henkel, proceed.
Madam Speaker, I'll turn the next question over to my colleague.
I do have a question for Mr. Henkel.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and Mr. Henkel. So if somebody gets bumped off the list, say, in 08, they have to go back through the process to get back on the list in 09? They're not put someplace at the top? Is that?
Madam Speaker.
Mr. Henkel.
Senator Murphy. It really depends on the situation. And what I mean by that is, in this situation, there was an immediate need to defer projects that were on the table and associated with this bridge collapse. And that was done rather rapidly. However, it was done in coordination with the Area Transportation Partnership, the Metropolitan Council, and Transportation Advisory Board. In this case, and in many cases like this, where there's an emergency situation, they may not have the opportunity to make a decision about whether or not that just moves in terms of the overall domino effect within the program. And I think that was the case here. Other cases where there is more time to be able to deal with this, the Transportation Advisory Board in this case would have gone through a TIP and STIP amendment process to identify what would happen with those particular projects and to assure that there is fiscal balance and other requirements meant in that process and go through an actual amendment process. In this case, it's my understanding that they will do that through the regular process of updating the State Transportation Improvement Program and the Area Transportation Improvement Program as they move into the next year, into that next cycle.
Okay, so
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Henkel, then it just seems like it's not a guarantee. If you're on the program for 08 and you get bumped, it's not a guarantee that you're going to be on in 09. It's just not a guarantee. Is that?
Madam
Mr.
Speaker,
Henkel.
Senator Murphy, I think that's fair to say that it's not a given.
Either way.
Either way.
Right. Okay. Yep.
All right. Mr. Henkel, question two. We had a lot of questions about the bid process and the public or non-public nature of that.
Madam Speaker, I'll defer to my colleague, Mr. Gray.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, we obviously didn't talk beforehand, and you get to cherry-pick the first question, I get the second question. the specific line of inquiry has been around the public or non-public nature of the bid information, and I'm going to go through the response, but kind of the highlights of this relate to the fact that this is, first of all, a design-build process. And the first point is that data submitted by business to a government entity is private or non-public until the responses are opened. And at that time, specifically the names of the responders are made public. The balance of the information remains non-public until the negotiation process has concluded. With the selected vendor. After that process, or the evaluation process of negotiating the contract, the remaining data does become public. And an important distinction here is with the exception of trade secret data that is also defined in statute. And that's a very literal reading of the statute. And again, as we've discussed and was dialogued a bit on Thursday, last Thursday, the award occurs when the contract has been negotiated and executed. And at this point in time, we have both negotiated and executed this contract related to the bridge collapse.
And I think the question, and I don't know, Mr. Gray, if you're the right person, I do see some folks from the Department of Administration in the audience today, is a question about these the words non-public or private. And I don't know how much members want to explore this today or maybe have follow-up by the Department of Administration, but my recollection of this goes back to, you know, some issues with how much folks were allowed to know about the contract and when and those sorts of things, which, you know, I think that's where the nature of the question came in, that, you know, legislators in particular felt particularly not able to talk at all about this and rather in the dark when maybe other members of the administration had a lot more information. So that was the nature. You don't have to necessarily comment on that. I don't know if anyone from admin wants to comment. I don't see them rushing for the microphone. So, Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, I think that was the gist of the discussion on Thursday, I couldn't shed much light on that other than what was dialogued already.
I think it's maybe for further legislative exploration. Question three.
The third question is a request to provide all information that is public on the I-35W bridge bid, including everything provided to the governor or media. We have issued a news release, and I believe that's one of the attachments. Attachment two. And we have a detailed PowerPoint presentation on our website. Beyond that, I believe that we have been pretty full disclosure on the information, the bid specifics, and the nature and quality and timeline of the successful bidder. And I think that essentially everything that's been provided to the media is probably what the governor's office has seen. I can't speak to that specifically.
I think that, Mr. Gray, the information that you've provided in writing is all very helpful. However, it would be a good idea, I think, to at least provide us with one hard copy, at least, always of something like the slide presentation. I don't think that happened today. I mean, it's little use in the middle of this committee hearing to have a web link in this room. So just for future reference, I think that would be helpful. Questions to that, members? Otherwise, we should move on to four. Four.
Question four was to provide a historical perspective on MnDOT's cash flow for a 10-year period, and that is attachment three. and we attempted to make that as straightforward as possible. So we actually have two numbers there for each of the years, 1998 through 2007. You'll note that the third column from the left is the end of year cash balance. That's our June 30th close of business cash balance. And they range from a high of $407 million, which was the number I actually, I believe, referenced in the range in my discussion on Thursday, to a low of approximately $240 million at the end of any specific year. Again, this cash fluctuation, I should point out, is extremely dependent upon how many projects are going, how fast they're being built, the state of the gas and federal revenues and how fast they've come in. So there's a lot of moving parts, if you will, that impact the actual cash balance. But these are the ranges. We also took the liberty to add a column that shows what the average daily cash balance is throughout the year. And again, 2002 was kind of a high mark year for us. And I think that that was consistent, too, with our revenue growth. It was faster and more furious in the late 90s and early 2000s. But again, the average cash balance, we had a high of almost $339 million. And in 2006, our average balance was below $195. We also could provide some information around low points, and I would point out over the last 4 years we've had low points of approximately $100 million. So consistent with our cash schedules, there have been points in time, a given day during the course of a month, typically somewhere in the early, late fall, early winter, November, December, we have hit low points of $100 million approximately on a couple of occasions, and on one occasion, our all-time low point has been approximately $71 million, again, in fiscal 2006.
Yeah, December.
So, Mr. Gray, and I think this goes to what you showed us in terms of cash flow projections. Worst-case scenario, middle-case scenario, kind of the possibility that the feds don't come through with the money. The best-case scenario, federal money comes through. And so what I hear you saying, I just want to be clear, that in the time, in the 10-year period from 1998 to 2007, the lowest the daily cash balance ever came in MnDOT is $71 million in the positive.
Madam Speaker, that's the information I have, yes, correct.
Okay. And so that contrasts to sort of the projections that we saw on Thursday, where would you characterize that, Mr. Gray, as the first time that average or the daily cash balance drops in the negative then?
Madam Speaker, you're talking it falls in the negative when under a certain scenario, you mean?
Right.
Under the scenario of that we've presented to date of receiving the $53 million in the short term here and anticipating the $195 million to not be received until as late as April, that would be, I do not believe that we've borrowed or had been in a position where we've had a negative fund or negative cash balance at a point in time. So that scenario reflects the $393 million of costs related to the bridge running through our system and straining our cash abilities.
Any follow-ups, folks? All right, let's keep going.
Madam Speaker, the next question was a similar 10-year...
Mr. Gray, there's some confusion up here, so could you just clarify that you stated that there would be a negative cash balance at some point if the conservative best-case scenario played out, which is receiving the $53.2 million and then the anticipated $195 million in potentially, I think you said March, you guys did the calculation on?
April.
April?
Said April.
Okay. So April, that there would be a negative cash balance.
Madam Speaker, that's correct. The month-end balance for cash, I believe, is positive in each of the scenarios, or in that scenario in particular, but at a low point, accounting for the timing of our receipts and the possible bills coming from contractors, including, obviously, related to the bridge, we forecasted as high as potentially $69 million, I think was the number in 2008, and $76 million in 2009.
And the latter number as high, but you really are saying as a negative.
As a negative, that the negative could be that high, if you
right.
will. Excuse me.
Is that clear? Thank you. Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I can't really miss the opportunity, and that's kind of what we've been asking here. We've gotten into a position where we don't have enough cash, period. And that's the bottom line. We can increase the spending authority, $200 million, $250 million, $300 million. Doesn't mean that we've got the cash to spend. I think that there's a lot more, or there's a potential to have a lot more projects on the 08 schedule in jeopardy than what we even realize. And I think that a lot of them that are being programmed for 09 are really in jeopardy, especially if we're unsuccessful in the next session of passing a real comprehensive funding package. And, Mr. Gray, absent, I don't know, a miracle from the federal government, at the end of fiscal year 08 going into 09, are we going to be able to stick with the program that we have, basically that we've got slated for 09.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy and members, working in concert with the Department of Finance and taking advantage of borrowing through the general fund, we anticipate that we will be able to keep the program intact. The key is, as we're talking today, is about the appropriation authority level, and that's the kind of the spending ceiling that the Lieutenant Governor referred to that is a cap that's tied to how much we can spend. Assuming that we receive minimally $250 million, or I guess $248 million, the $2 million going off the top to the divers, but $248 million of cash, we do anticipate that we'll be in a positive cash scenario for a fiscal year in 2009, but it would require additional borrowings in 2008 and 2009, as was referenced by Commissioner Hansen as well. But the real issue at present is the near-term appropriation authority, number one, and second, then, I think there is a commitment I'm reading from both the legislature and the and an awareness on the part of the administration that we need to come back and talk about the cash issues in the 08 session.
So,
Senator Murphy.
So, Madam Chairman, what I heard Mr. Gray said was that there's going to be more borrowing done to the Trunk Highway Fund to keep all of our program, all the scheduled construction in the program.
Mr. Gray.
Madam Speaker, with the costs of $393 million and current planning estimates of $250 million federal cash, if you will, coming in, there will be a gap and there will be borrowing. I should also point out that one of the scenarios that we did share with the committee was a base program scenario where if there had not been a bridge and all the related impacts, that we were not in a borrowing situation. Under our regular program, at least in our current forecasts.
Mm-hmm. Well, Representative Solberg, as my grandpa used to say, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. Well, he had to, if the
all right.
bridge didn't fall down.
Anything else on this particular item? Mr. Gray, Mr. Henkel, number five.
Madam Speaker, number five is a similar 10-year perspective, but related to trunk highway debt service. And again, that is attachment four in your list, or your packet, rather.
And Mr. Gray, I know you can't see this. We could get you a copy of this, but I think this corresponds in terms of what Senator Murphy was showing us earlier as a percentage over time.
Madam Speaker, looking at the trend curve that I can see from here, that it would appear to correlate to these numbers that we...
So why don't you just walk us through this very quickly?
Madam Chair and members, in 1998 through approximately 2000, I believe we'd only had one trunk highway bond authorization and sale that was related to late 70s or early 80s. And what you're seeing is the tail end of those debt service payments relative to that bond offering from that time frame. In the 2000-2001 sessions, there was an infusion, if you will, of both general fund monies, trunk highway monies, and bonding for transportation initiatives. There, at that point in time, you'll see that we started to sell more bonds in the 2001-2002 timeframe related to that 2000 authorization, and I believe that there was in 2001 that there was some authorization of bonds versus general fund spending. In the 2003 legislature, we approved a bond accelerated program for an additional $400 million of bonds. That would be over and above the approximately $200 million of bond authorizations in 2000 through 2002. With that, you'll see as we sell the bonds and we start incurring the interest costs, and again, there was a point raised by somebody in the committee, do we sell all the bonds all at once? And as a reminder, we do not. We sell it as the cash needs present themselves to minimize our interest and debt service impacts. But as you can see, as we worked through 2004 through 2007, which was the conclusion of the bond accelerated program, we have been selling bonds to bring these projects forward. The projects are I believe, largely completed. Trunk Highway 212 is an example of one that's still underway, but we have made, we did authorize that entire project, and we'll be using further bond proceeds in that. But I think that we're substantially close to using all of the bond authorization. The debt service for 2007 is $53.7 million. In addition, with the special session, the legislature, the governor's recommendation did authorize an additional $20 million of trunk highway bonds for flood relief. So you'll see a modest increase in 2008. We will be selling those bonds, I believe, this fall. And throughout the balance of the 2008 through 2011 forecast period will be approximately in this low to mid $50 million range of debt service payments for the balance of the forecast period.
Mr. Gray, do you happen to know off the top of your head the percentage increase in this debt service? Not the percentage of the budget that Senator Murphy showed us, but, you know, gosh, I'm kind of looking at it and I don't know, it looks like about 500 to 600% increase. Is that?
Madam Speaker and members, I'm trying to recall. I think that as we go through the period of time here, that would be accurate in the sense that we've increased our bonding levels from $100 million in 2000 to an additional $110 million in 2001. And then for the $400 million bond package that was part of the bond accelerated program and bringing forward that series of projects that we've been reporting on. So in the way the state of Minnesota does the debt service payments, there's a more of a front-end impact. So I think the numbers are what they are, and that is a ramp-up, but it reflects approximately $600 million of bond authorization and sales.
Senator Pogledon.
So the nice way to say this is bond accelerated.
If my family bond accelerated like this, I'd be in deep doo-doo, wouldn't I?
Mr. Gray?
This is quite a...
Madam Speaker and Senator Folkenmiller...
In 2002, you go from $7 million debt payment to $53 or $54 million debt payment. And we call that bond accelerated?
Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and I kind of feel the same way about Senator Pogemiller does about, you know, this increase, and we've had that discussion several times in our committee. But Mr. Gray, I think it would probably help if we had these numbers run out through about 2020 on the repayment schedule, so that we get a good picture of what the bond program in 98, you know, what kind of impact that has through the life cycle, if you see what I'm saying. And then you start adding on what we did in 03, I believe, in the 03 legislature, wasn't it 03?
I think.
And then see how where that takes us, because it seems like years 8 and 9 into a bond program is when you hit the top end of your debt service. So if there was a way that we could get it run out through, you know, 2015 or so, that'd work out.
And just Corinne's helped me here, and it's a 657% increase from 2002 to 2007. So I guess that is the classic borrow and spend pattern. 657% increase. Senator Pogemiller.
What's a little disturbing here is that even at this amount of debt, the transportation people say we're 1.7 to 2.2 billion short.
2.4
annually.
I think the department could tell us that from their safety performance, what they would need to spend to meet their performance measures. Could someone, Mr. Henkel?
Madam Speaker, that figure is correct.
2.4 billion to meet the performance measures set out by the Department of Transportation.
And Madam Chair, that's per year for a 10-year construction cycle.
Is that correct, Mr. Henkel? I just want to make sure that we have that.
Madam Speaker, Senator Murphy, that is correct.
So,
and it includes transit.
Okay.
Yes, and it also includes airports and water ports and rail yards, and it includes all of transportation.
So
Senator Pogemiller, maybe we should get you signed up there.
I haven't either, but I
Madam Speaker, I think he has control of that.
In the House, we could get him appointed, I'm sure.
I could There's be a replaced committee. If we want to make a lateral move to the House.
There's a committee in the Senate that makes these appointments. I'm sure they've been very wise over the years. If we're basically kind of moving money around here between the general fund and the highway trust fund to kind of hold things together right now because of the bridge collapse, and that's only a $200 or $300 million issue, how do we propose to deal with the 1.7 or 2.4 billion dollar issue Commissioner Hansen's here. Is there a way to move enough money from whatever pot of money you got over there to take care of that 1.7 or 2.4?
Mr. Schulwalter, do you have $2.4 billion laying around?
Because I did read that the voters of Minnesota don't seem to be convinced that we need additional revenue here. I'm wondering if either Department of Finance or the professionals in the department think we don't need additional revenue. Because if we don't, that would be good, I guess. It seems, but I just sit here and I kind of go, it seems like we need money. I don't know.
Mr. Showalter.
Madam Chair, Majority Leader, we do not have $2.4 billion in the general fund. We have a bottom line of roughly $300 million, $294 million to be exact, reserves of a little over $1 billion. So that kind of money isn't available in the general fund.
But
what
would you
we've
be
been
willing
talking about is short-term cash flow.
Senator Pogemiller.
If we said that this was the highest priority, would the Department of Finance be willing to move all that money over to transportation? Would you at least put a dent in 1.7 or 2.4? Would that be a wise thing to do from the Department of Finance's perspective?
Mr. Showalter.
Whatever crumbs you got over there, you send them over?
Madam Chair, Majority Leader, if it was enacted in law, that would be what would happen.
Would you advise us to do that?
Mr. Showalter, I don't know that.
Madam Speaker, maybe if
Mr.
I could
Gray.
Jump in here. A couple of things. First of all, I think we have talked about this gap as a department, as an administration, as a legislature, and I think that there's an acknowledgement of that, how to resolve the gap and how much and how is, you know, up to the policymakers and decision makers. But I wanted to
well,
talk
before,
specifically
before
about
you, before you move there, and you certainly don't answer anything you don't want to answer.
Yep.
But as a professional, as a finance person in the agency, do you think with a 657% ramp up in borrowing, that more borrowing is the kind of way we should go there to get at this 1.7 or 2.4 billion? I mean, I suppose we could run that up to a 1,000% increase in borrowing. But I'm not sure that's a good thing to do, and I guess I'm asking you as a finance professional, if you choose to answer, would you want to do a lot more borrowing here, or what would be your thinking on
Mr.
that?
Mr. Gray, only if you want to.
Well, Madam Speaker, what I did want to point out is that we will provide the schedule of the by year in the future. I wanted to also add that we have increased our trunk highway bond authorizations. The legislature has authorized us up to just over $600 million. And the debt service does correlate with the increased use of bonds. But contextually, I did want to say that it's important that as you look at bonding as a tool for both cash flow purposes and to bring projects forward, that the other side of this coin is that we were able to bring projects forward of significant impacts, such as the 494 project, the Trunk Highway 212 project, Trunk Highway 14, other projects that we've been working on. So it's a little bit imbalanced, but the numbers do speak for themselves. We have increased that level of debt service payments from, winding down an earlier bond authorization from the early 80s, late 70s to something that reflects what it costs to support $600 million of bonding.
And then, Madam Chair, just a little.
Yes.
But we also could have done that by actually putting revenue into the system. And then we wouldn't have a 657% ramp up. I mean, we could have done that too.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I guess I'm going to start reflecting with some of the committee members are certainly feeling that we're just about committeed out. I think we've shown beyond any reasonable doubt that we simply need to admit we have a problem, and then we can create a 12-step program for transportation so that we can get her done.
How many of these do we have?
I can, I sit up late at night, members, and I dream up things, and I did figure it out that if we but only stop studying issues of the legislature for the next 5 years, we can replace every road in the state with the money we save that we have spent on studying. In being committed out, I'm going to move that the Transportation Contingent Appropriation Group approve, the by the written consent of at least five members of the group, the request of the Department of Transportation to authorize an increase in the state road construction appropriation for fiscal year 2008-2009 by $195 million.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Discussion to that motion.
Madam Speaker?
Yes, Representative Solberg.
I think if we look at the law, a motion like that is not even in order. Because the law says that all you have to do is have five people sign. It doesn't say that the committee process of a motion or anything else is in order. I mean, you can sign if you want, and we wouldn't have even had to meet to meet the letter of the law on the procedure for signing. If you're comfortable with that, that's fine. Maybe staff can help me out on that, but I think that's, I'm not comfortable with this yet, particularly when we've had testimony that we only really need 145. Why would we ask for 190 or 143, whatever it is? Why would we ask that? And as we get more information, I think we probably even need less, but maybe legal counsel could help.
Madam Speaker.
Senator Youngbauer, I am going to call on Mr. Shepherd to help us with this piece of it, whether it takes a formal vote of this committee or whether the action of signing the authorization at whatever that looks like. But Senator Youngbauer first.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and Representative Solberg. The reason I make the motion, and we can have legal counsel determine if it's in order or not, I think it's time to move the process forward, and we have had a great discussion, and I think many times it's gotten out way beyond what the purview of the committee ought to be, but I think we need to know some of those things in order to make a decision. And I think it is time to decide whether we really feel as a committee if this is the way to move it forward, or if we want to have a preponderance of people say no, we need to come back for a one-hour, two-hour special session. But I think it's time to move something forward. I think we've exhausted listening through some of these things, and we've proven where MnDOT's gone, where transportation has gone, and I think we need to stay right on task now or just disband the committee and do it another way. Thanks.
Mr. Shepherd, a vote of the committee or signatures on the paper?
Madam Chair and members, I believe that in order to approve this at the end, it would take a written approval on a piece of paper of five of the eight members in order to give final approval to this.
Senator Youngbauer, although I chair a rather large body when I'm normally chairing that body, I don't normally chair a committee or a group. And I want to be deferential to you as a member of this group, but I would hope you would withdraw that motion because I don't believe it's in order, and I would hate to have to rule against you today.
Madam Speaker, I will withdraw the motion. I just thought it was timely in saying it's time to decide where and how we proceed.
And I appreciate that point, and thank you for withdrawing it, Senator Pogamiller.
Madam Speaker, I think maybe what Senator Youngbauer wants to find out is if there are enough people to sign this and move on. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, Senator Youngbauer, I'm not ready to sign it because I don't quite know what it is yet. And I really would like to help the administration out, but I'm not going to get in the way of others signing it. But I just don't think I would be doing a service to my office to say that I know exactly what's going on here. And I frankly am not sure the Department of Finance totally knows what's going on here. And it seems to me that we ought to have some certainty here about what it is that we're doing so that we can be certain that we're not doing something fiscally irresponsible. I think Senator Murphy has already made it clear, it appears that we only need $145 million if we need anything. And so to sign for $195 seems to me not to be the conservative thing to do. But I don't doubt that there isn't something they need help with. It's just not clear to me what it is right now. But I may be the only one, and I'm certainly not going to get in the way of anybody else. But I know for certain that this $195 request is not for the 35W bridge. I know that for certain. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not willing to do something. And if there's a delay of other projects, somewhere apparently between 100 and it appears 145 million, I don't know that I'm interested in delaying those projects. Senator Youngbauer, at this moment, I don't think and maybe I just don't get it, but I don't think with any certainty we know exactly what it is that's necessary. And my suggestion would be that the Department of Finance kind of work with, because I think this is out of the transportation area now. They've made their decision. I think this is between the Department of Finance and the legislature. And I think we ought to work with the Department of Finance to figure out what it is they need to make sure that we can kind of keep things afloat here until we get back in February. That's my sense of it. But, again, I absolutely am not interested in suggesting how any other member vote or not vote. I'm just giving you my two cents worth. Because I think you were genuinely trying to find out, can we get something mm-hmm. done now? And I'm just saying, I think we certainly could if there are five people that want to sign this. I don't.
Senator Youngbauer.
Madam Speaker and Senator Pogemiller, you make some valid points, and I keep hearing as we sit here several members stating that they don't think we're within the purview of the statute, which is another valid argument. But again, if we're not, then we need to cut off the debate and the input and get it to our fellow legislators and do it another way. So if we're not going to move something forward, then continuing to take all the staff time and other people's time in hearings like this, we serve no purpose for our constituents, the state of Minnesota, or anybody else that's here. So I think it's time to decide, do we have any jurisdiction over this or don't we?
Senator Youngbauer, I will tell you that I came into this process with a very open mind. I think I still have that open mind, but my mind has been opened even further to the issues of whether we have been asked to provide possibly a bailout for the department, the level of withholding of information prior to these hearings about what was going on at the department, and really a question for my constituents at least, and I think the constituents of the state of Minnesota, about accountability and about accountability in the Department of Transportation right now. And I think Senator Pogemiller raises an interesting point, whether with the signing of the contract we've sort of moved to a different level here and we really need to be dealing with the Department of Finance in trying to figure out an accountable, reasonable way to provide what would be potentially some ability for the department to continue with program but have more accountability for what has been happening there. So I don't think this has been a waste of time at all. And I think there's actually things in the sheets here in terms of the next answers coming up. I mean, there's some things that I would like to explore publicly, at least. I'd like us to at least get through this packet today before we sort of shut down the debate, if we could. And then we certainly could have a discussion about whether we need to meet again or whether this is a discussion with the Commissioner of Finance or what it is exactly. So, Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I guess I didn't mean to say it as it was a waste of time, but we're nearing the hour of what I perceive as the decision to whether or not this is the right group. Because I think everything we are going through today is so valid for a joint transportation mm-hmm. committee meeting. We need to look at all these things. And Senator Murphy and I have looked at that for several years. That's how I've really gotten to know Senator Murphy, is talking about some of the issues that we disagree with the operational ideas within MnDOT, not that the people that are running it are doing it other than the way they're told, but that we think there ought to be some changes. What we see here, I think there ought to be some changes. The way we're going with financing our roads and bridges, I think there ought to be some changes. So I think we're on the same page in terms of advocating for major dollars and new dollars in transportation infrastructure. So we're on the same page there. But again, I was trying to direct it not to say let's cut it off now, but to just say this is good input. I think the rest of the legislature, and at a bare minimum, the full transportation committees on both sides jointly need to know all of this. This pertains to everything we do with the future of transportation, and I think we don't do justice to all them by keeping it within this small committee.
I would agree with you, Senator Youngbauer.
So I hope you understand I wasn't trying to cut off all debate or anything.
Okay. I want to be clear that the department's going to provide for us a 20-year bond payment schedule as well. Oh, we have it. Okay.
We think that's what that is.
Yep. Is this the document? Thank you. Okay, well, Senator Murphy wants to look at it. Let's move on to question six, which I think is actually for the Department of Finance. So, Mr. Showalter, you're in place.
Madam Chair, if I may, I think Commissioner Hansen referenced the answer to this question in the last hearing. The current bottom line amount in the general fund post-special session is $294 million. That is after you take into account all the revenues that are anticipated, spending that's anticipated, as well as about $1 billion in reserves. The amount that's unobligated is $294 million.
Okay. Any questions on that? I guess I want to be clear, and I think we know the answer to this question, but if any authorization were provided by this group, would that affect the bottom line in terms of that balance?
No, Madam Chair, no, it would not.
Okay. All right. Number seven.
Madam Speaker.
Just one question. It would, however, it would not offer difference in the bottom line, but you on a daily basis may not have all that in your account. You may have to borrow some money to transportation to do that, but you would get interest on that. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative,
Ms.
that is
Showalter.
True.
Okay,
typically, the cash balance actually for the general fund is higher than that amount during the course, than that $294 million throughout the course of the year.
Sure.
Okay. Number seven.
Madam Speaker, question seven asks MnDOT to provide a memo that was issued from the Office of Investment Management to the district offices, asking them to review their programming to determine what, if any, cuts should be made if MnDOT does not receive the $195 million of authorization. I'll ask you to refer to attachments 5, 6, and 7, which provide to you the original deferral targets, which is attachment number 5, and then attachments number 6 and 7 are the cover memos and a revision of the targets sent to the district offices. Let me make clear what the timing was for each of these, because I know, Madam Speaker, that was one of your questions during the last session. Attachment number 5 is the original guidance that was provided to the districts. That particular guidance was issued on September 18th of this year. That was the day before the letting on the bids for the I-35 bridge project. Attachments number 6 and number 7 are revisions that were made to that guidance the day following the lettings on the I-35W bridge. So this letter, first of all, the email, attachment 6 was issued on September 20th of this year with the additional guidance as well going to the districts. You'll note the difference between these two pieces of guidance is to provide the districts with additional guidance given the estimated cost of the preferred bid at the time of letting on September 19th being nearly $60 million more. So the prior guidance was less than $60 million. The guidance issued on attachment 7 increased the amount that we suggested to them for planning purposes. Second, there is also a difference in the guidance itself. In the guidance issued on the 18th, you will see that we specifically asked the Metro District to identify 75% of the deferrals because the bridge reconstruction will occur within the Metro District. We asked that the remaining $25 million of the estimated $100 million shortfall at that time be distributed among the remaining districts proportionally. That was the original guidance. Now, following the letting on the project, referring again to attachment number 7, the guidance that was issued was at a higher level of funding. So we're talking about a total of $140 million worth of shortfall that we were trying to plan to deal with. And it further modified the guidance that we were providing, where we were asking the districts to look at first deferring specific expansion projects. As we had looked at the total program for that year, we expected that it would be difficult without guiding the districts to look at some of those expansion projects to meet that bottom line. So for scenario planning, we asked them to not have to look at that at all. And we gave them the guidance that those projects listed at the very top of the sheet were already on the deferral list, and then the remaining funds were proportionately distributed amongst the districts for their identification of potential impacts.
Okay, I think members have questions. I have a technical thing on the email, so I don't know if Ms. McKenzie's in the room or not.
Madam Speaker, she is not, to my knowledge.
Okay. So, Mr. Henkel, I want to clarify in the first paragraph of that email that starts, "Dear All," it is suggested, and I just don't know if this is the bridge project, but I think it is from reading the memo, that it is referred to as the best value bid is in. I want to know if this was bid under best value or design build.
Madam Pardon? Speaker, it's my understanding that best value was the approach taken in selecting this particular design build project.
Okay. And so I thought there was some confusion about this earlier, that both couldn't be used at once, but maybe they can be.
Madam Speaker, that is indeed the case, that this is a design build best value contract.
Okay.
So it is a design build. The innovative feature of it was a prescriptive statute that supports a best value award. So it's a design bid best value award.
Thank you for that clarification. Representative Solberg.
Don't they have different standards between the two? I mean, I'm plowing new ground here somewhat. Understanding,
I think that was the reason for my question, Representative Solberg. I thought that the process for the two were in conflict potentially with each other. So maybe, Mr. Allen, would you like to come to the table and help us with this? Best value is a new statute that we've passed.
Certainly, Madam Speaker,
identify
members,
yourself.
I'm Kent Allen, Department of Administration. I think the source of the confusion may be the fact that during the last legislative session, a bill was passed that allows state entities to use a best value method for construction projects. Prior to that time, construction projects were done on a low bid basis. However, there has been a statute in law since 2001 for design-build construction projects. It's quite prescriptive as to the method to be used to determine the best value. So design-build projects under that authority are, in fact, both design-build and best value projects. Have I confused you further?
Mr. Allen, so is this been bid under the new best value statute or the old design-build best value statute? So it depends on where you put the best value, I guess, in the sentence, whether it's first or last.
Madam Speaker, this was awarded under the design build best value language that's been in effect since 2001.
Okay, thank you. And so the confusion for us is that you probably use this language in the department all the time as the best value contract for design build versus the new best value statute that we passed, which is different. So I wanted to clarify that for the record, because I do know that there has been some confusion by the public that our new best value statute created this situation, when in reality this was truly bid and is going to be built under the design build statute?
Madam Speaker, you are correct.
Very good. Thank you. That's what we needed clarified on that. Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I'd like to probably for Mr. Gray. In these documents you passed out the first day when outlined the cost of the bridge and the cost of the total reclamation, everything else. In my question, if you recall that, the first page says we're looking at, for a grand total of bridge and related cost impacts, $393 million. Okay, now I'm going back to the second page where we look at the appropriations and the construction and so on. And you show on this fiscal year 2008 estimated bridge and related cost impacts of $338, not the $393. Now, we've talked about this earlier today, and I think wish Senator Pogermiller and a couple others were here. We could clarify this. I think is the difference in the amounts because we're going to have roughly $55 million or so going into fiscal year 2009, or what is this,
Mr. Gray?
Madam Speaker, Representative Magnus. It does get confusing as we look at what we need for fiscal 08 versus fiscal 09. But very simply, if you look on the total cost page, the state road construction appropriation, which has been our focus around the $145 million in 08, and is $375 million. Included in that $375 million are two items that will not take place timeline-wise until fiscal 2009. Those items specifically are highlighted. The line items are the incentives number of $27 million and half of the traffic restoration number of $20 million. $10 million was for some of the changes that we made to convert 280 into a freeway and to add additional lanes and striping on 94. But half of that $10 million is to restore those projects or to take care of heavier than anticipated traffic in certain areas of the network. So in brief, the $375 million, if you take off the $27 million for the incentives, which would not be payable or due or encumbered until 2009, and approximately our estimate of $10 million of post-project completion traffic restoration efforts, that $37 million from the $375 gets you to the $338 million. And that's the impact to our appropriation level in 2008. But so there is that gap there, and it doesn't jump out at you unless you have that explanation.
Right.
Representative Magnus.
And thank you, Mr. Gray. And I think that helps us, at least it clarifies it a little bit in my mind, where we go from $195 million to $145. Because, in fact, those bills aren't going to be incurred until fiscal year 09. And, in fact, it is going to cost $195 million, that, as far as we know today. And that can change. I anticipate changes from as things move forward here. These are the as of October 1st numbers. So I think that was a bit of confusion here where some of the members in the committee here or the group are asking, wait a minute, do we need 145 or 195? Just what is the deal here? So I think we're looking at 195 or better, and the bid's going up.
Senator Murphy.
Madam Chairman, I would agree with Representative Magnus. In the future, you know, it's going to be more than 195. I think that's pretty well established. And but it kind of looks like, you know, 145 does the trick for now. I mean, we still have to address whatever that number is going to be, whether it's between 145 and that mythical number of what we actually are going to need, or 195 and that number that we actually need. So,
well, Madam Speaker,
Representative Magnus.
Yeah, thank you. And it gets to the point of our task here to, with this group. I guess I'd like to ask the legal staff or anyone else what number should we be looking at then?
Mr. Watson, I don't know if you can help us with that, but
Madam Chair and Representative Magnus, I think the first thing that this group needs to focus on is the number that's in the request of the Commissioner of Finance.
Yeah.
Commissioner has asked for $195 billion, and I think the committee has basically a yes or a no on that. If you're not satisfied with that number, if you would be more satisfied with a number like 145, then you need to have some conversation with the commissioner about perhaps submitting a different request at that other number. But the first focus, I think, has to be on the original 195.
Madam Speaker,
yes.
I think
Representative Solberg.
About 20 minutes ago, that was kind of what was said by either yourself or Majority Leader Pogamiller, that we want to work with the Commissioner of Finance to determine a number that we all feel comfortable with. And, Madam Speaker, also, I'm interested in going to be looking very strongly at the monthly requirements as they go through. And that's why you asked for those. And I asked also for the mobilization numbers. So
and,
I think.
And Representative Solberg, I think it's important that the answer to when does the department hit its authorized spending limit,
right.
Which I think we preliminarily heard is February, and we understand there's some problems with that in terms of running maybe right up to February, although we do go back into session in February. And so I think we're looking for
I think many
people are looking for a conclusion that includes a number of members of the House and Senate, like 201 instead of 8. So I think we have given a lot of indication that we are still interested in this but have some concerns. And I think those concerns are justified, actually, but members have questions on question 7. As we're going to move on to question 8.
Madam Speaker.
Mr. Henkel.
Question 8 asks MnDOT to provide information that was submitted by the districts on the programming cuts in response to the guidance issued on both occasions. I would ask you to refer to handout number 8. Which provides a compilation of all of the responses across the state. As you look at this, you can see that there are a number of preservation, right-of-way, and set-aside related proposals in this scenario. In total, the response in terms of the amount deferred nears the estimate that we provided to the districts. When you compare the actual response, it's about $136.8 million, and the amount that we asked for planning purposes to look at was $140 million of shortfall.
Questions? And so these are, just to be clear, again, the possible, this is sort of a winnowed list from the first list we saw. We've been sort of moving in closer focus. The first list we had was everything for the 2008 construction season. Actually, we had even higher than that, I think. I think we had the whole STIP the first time through. And then we had the 2008 construction season given to us last time. Then this drills down even further as to as you covered in the last question, what is being already directed by the department to say Wakota Bridge, delay, a number of right-of-way projects, delay. Here are the other recommendations from district engineers, and that would be put together in some sort of package to get to that number if it were needed. Is that a fair assessment, Mr. Henkel?
Madam Speaker, that is correct.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I don't know, maybe Mr. Henkel, but I'm just going through some of the list of these projects, and these all kind of fit in the category, in my mind, of important but not critical. Is that fair?
Madam Speaker.
Mr. Henkel.
Senator Murphy, I would suggest that many of these projects are important. projects. We are at the stage in the state of Minnesota that any deferrals can have an impact on the infrastructure.
Right,
safety.
But Madam Chair, Mr. Hinkle, I understand
Senator
that, and I probably don't understand it from a number standpoint as well as you do, because you can look at any one of these, especially the right-of-way acquisition, and say that, well, you know, for example, on page 3, there's one here for St. Croix River crossing, and well, it's construction and acquire right-of-way, but that number's roughly $4 million. A year or 2 years from now, that might be $4.5 million because of the right-of-way acquisition has went up. But in my mind, these are important, but they're not critical, like, I don't know, fixing the Lafayette Bridge or the I-35W bridge.
Mr. Hinkle.
Yes, I can agree to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Speaker, just one
Representative Solberg.
Little question. I noticed in the list that was provided, and I appreciate that, but it's kind of interesting on the comments, and I appreciate that because that is sometimes helpful. For instance, a local share is not included on page 3, and
so this is not a
2-point M sunset is deferred on 309, and comments come. But I was interested in the, here's another one, reconstruction is completed funding program by Delano. But I was also interested in where the comments come where all of a sudden a couple of them would be highly visible to partner. And the other one was, I thought it was kind of interesting, that becomes a political. Could be come political. I was just kind of interested in those comments. One was highly visible. Well, everything is highly visible.
Well, Madam Chairman, I...
Yeah, Senator Murphy.
I would probably say that the Wachota Bridge is a very critical piece of infrastructure that needs to be rectified, but I think overall what the district's engineers did here was take a look at what they felt was very high priority, which is normally, you know, pouring concrete, building roads, putting guardrails back up, and not so much maybe the acquisition of right-of-way. Even though that's a very important function, it's probably not as important as making sure that the pavement quality is maintained and guardrails get put back up and safety barriers are installed. You know, most of the time, Madam Chair, and this is just kind of my own from sitting through and listening to district engineers and county engineers, and it's just my opinion that when they come before the legislature and they say, you know, we need to do X, Y, and Z, they have a good reason why X, Y, and Z needs to be done, and they normally have a very good plan of getting it done. And I think that all of them will tell you, one, that, you know, most of the things on this list are very, very important, don't get me wrong, but probably not real critical outside of maybe the Wachota Bridge. But the one thing that these district engineers will also say, and engineers from the county, is that they just, you know, they fail to see the reason to continue to plan 20, 30, 40 years out in the future, knowing what kind of resources we have to apply to that plan. It's pretty discouraging on the part of an engineer to be designing something knowing that it's probably not going to get funded for 20 years.
Senator Murphy, I think, and I don't know whether, like Representative Solberg, whether to be shocked or whether to just think this is normal, that on a document it says delay could get political on page 1 of the 5 documents, the bottom project there in Pequot Lakes, and I'm not entirely sure if that is get political because local folks will be very upset or get political because, you know, there's a member of the legislature there that's going to be upset. I don't know, but you know, I think it's a question about the lens of the department right now. Is the lens of the department to filter everything with a political overtone or to filter things from the perspective of a professional opinion? And certainly politics can be part of a professional opinion, but I just don't know if this is sort of standard course for the department or if...
Madam Speaker.
Mr. Henkel.
I want to make clear that this is the first blush response of the districts. It is a verbatim response from what was received. It has not been discussed above my level, division director within the department. This is really, for this effort, the first time that I've had a chance to look at this rolled up list. So it is really just exactly for your interest what we received from those districts, plain and simple.
Speaker,
Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair, I appreciate that, but I want to ask a separate question then. And I tried to do this last time, and I was confused, I guess. I'm a slow learner. But on page 2 is an example of the end of, I think it's District 3. It's a replacement. It's 3309-13, a replacement of bridge over the Hay Creek. It's on the list, but it says it's not recommended for delay because of severe corrosion, steel pilings rusted at and below the water line. So that sounds like a very critical one the department has put it on the list. My question is would central office say, department, maybe you should find something else and not put that one on the list?
Madam Speaker.
Mr. Henkel.
Representative Solberg, I'm concerned when I see that. Looking at this list today and seeing the concern that District 3 has, the feedback that I would provide to them is, do you have any other opportunities beyond these two bridges that they've shown concerns?
Okay,
and,
so Mr. Henkel, Madam Speaker, Mr. Henkel.
Representative Solberg.
You do have interaction with that, and we'd probably be getting some additional documentation from that department. Is that correct?
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, we haven't provided any direction, as you can see at this point in time, about any way we would vet this. But in the future, as we look at this, if there is a need, once a decision is made, then I'm certain that there will be a vetting process that occurs for there to be direction back to the districts on where we go next.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Further questions on this list? Senator
Pogue-Miller. I've been meaning to ask this, but there's, and this might be the time with regards to these. Apparently, there's been, you've moved between fiscal years. In one instance, you moved up $50 million from previous year, and in another instance, apparently, you moved $100 million out. It's unclear to me, are those the numbers, $50 million and $100 million? What were those numbers?
It's $47 million.
$47 million, and
I think it's the last attachment here.
Oh, are we going to get to this point?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll wait.
All right. Question 9, and I think this will get us there.
Madam Speaker, the final question is a request for a list of projects that were moved between years, and this goes to Senator Pogue-Miller's a question about moving projects forward and back. If you refer to attachment 9, you'll see that we have a number of projects, a number of which were likely what we called ELA projects. In other words, we had let these projects but weren't planning for them to start work until July of 2007, which is fiscal 2008. You'll see a listing of totaling $83 million of projects that were moved forward into fiscal 2007. That was offset by one major project and some other consultant agreement work for design and other studies that were moved into fiscal 2008. The net impact is that $47 million and I believe I've referred to it as $45 million approximately in my meetings with staff, but $47.5 million that shows that we were essentially reduced our programming needs and impacts in FY fiscal 2008 by that amount by advancing these projects into fiscal 2007. And this is the detailed list that supports the projects, again, many of which were planning to be started in July that we were able to move into May and certainly June. And this is kind of reflective of a schedule that has hundreds of projects and hundreds of different uses where there's going to be some movement in terms of when a project is ready versus another project that might be waiting on an environmental statement or the design is lagging behind. And so I think that this is I'm not as familiar with the programming side of things, but I think this is reflective of the fact that we have projects that shift and move a little bit, and we want to maximize the appropriation authority given us by the legislature to ensure that we bring as many projects and use up the appropriation.
Senator Pogue.
And I was under the impression that in addition to this moving forward, there also were some that were moved out into 09. Do I misunderstand that?
From
9
to
10. From 9 to 10, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Madam Speaker and Senator Pogamiller, that's correct.
65. Mr. Watson says it's $65 million.
Exactly. And it was Trunk Highway 14, which was originally slated in our program for 2009 as a single large project totaling $130 million. And as they looked at the construction and staging of it, and we looked at our the future of the federal trust fund, the highway trust fund, and some of the cash and timing impacts of that, we were able to actually break the project into two pieces, the second phase of which will begin in fiscal 2010. The interesting thing about that project is that by doing that, we actually do not increase the total construction time. The staging of the project was such that we actually achieved the end date in a relatively comparable fashion. So it was one of those projects that you're able to break up and not have a delay on the end of the completed project, but it did create some room in the programming level for 2009 and was done to accommodate looking at our federal cash management and use of advanced construction financing and the like.
And, Speaker, just a point of clarification, Mr. Gray, has the entire project been let, however, for both 2009 and 2010?
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, no, the project has not been let. That would be a 2009 letting. I'm not sure which month I could get that information for you, but the planned target date is in fiscal 2009.
Thank you.
So on some projects, you do have the ability to split the let. In this instance, for whatever reason, you had figured out that was a way to manage this a little better. So does that affect the encumbrance issue or not? Did you have to encumber the total amount earlier on?
Madam Speaker, Senator Pogue-Miller, we would have two encumbrances in that case for the first letting and for the second stage or the balance of the project would be a separate specific letting and bid.
Madam Speaker, how do you know that the second phase of that is going to be the cost that you associate with it if you haven't let the contract with it?
Mr. Gray.
Other than estimations.
Madam Speaker, Representative Solberg, that's the balancing and should I say juggling act that we do literally with every
balancing sounds better from your perspective than juggling.
Well, and it's kind of hard to juggle asphalt and concrete, that's for sure. No, but we do have this constant play of are all the pieces of the timing and the cost estimates accurate, and there isn't a guarantee, but our best estimates at this point in time are that we would allow $65 million in this case. And I think it's coincidental that the two phases of the project are literally equal. I mean, that's kind of unusual, too. So it's not that you just cut the project in half. That was the staging related to a specific biddable projects.
Thank you.
Other questions? Senator Pogue-Miller.
Madam Speaker, appears there's something we can do here that's useful. It's just unclear what it is. And I'm wondering if there's some kind of offline discussions with finance here in the next day or two. We could kind of figure out something that accommodated where finance needs to be. I think the reason it might take some additional discussion is that I think we would need maybe perhaps a different request from finance. We're not clear as to whether we can alter what the request is, you know, start amending it. We don't know. And so what might be just a little easier is if we could just maybe have some discussions about what could work here, what could be a request that could gather the number of signatures that's necessary, and see if we couldn't get there that way. Just a thought.
Madam Speaker,
Representative Magnus.
To that point, Senator, and we discussed that a little bit while you were out of the room, and we were trying to figure out, at least I was in my mind, the difference between the 195 and the 145, because that's what you had asked, and I had asked Mr. Gray, on the first page of this document that we got the first day we met, we were at 375 and then totaled up to 395, and you go to the second page and it says fiscal year 2008, we were back down to 338, and Mr. Gray did explain some of those costs that would be shifted into then, would not be paid until 2009 for sure. So I think we're understanding that we're probably going to spend at least the 195 on this.
More. And just to summarize for Senator Pogamiller, because he was out of the room, I think we also followed up and said that we needed some pieces of information to be able to determine exactly what it is that folks are comfortable with due to some other factors, like some accountability factors and some other things here. And I think that if we had that month-by-month bid letting schedule amount from the Department of Transportation, along with the date that they hit the 616 cap that we've approved, the whole legislature has approved that, then we probably could enter into some discussion with the Department of Finance about exactly what might be in the range of possible here. And I don't want folks to walk out of here thinking that it's 195, 145, or anything else. I don't know what it is today. I think there are some very serious concerns with oversight and some issues with what the future plan is here. However, we're not going to be able to solve all those problems in this group, or we might be in some sort of group therapy together by the end, Senator Jungbauer. And I like you, but I don't want to spend that much time with you.
Well, and again,
so I think it's a matter of getting some very specific pieces of information. Maybe we could hear from Commissioner Hansen about his initial response.
Well, Madam Speaker, in the numbers we're working off are the estimated numbers as of October 1, and you know we don't know what they're going to be as we go down the road. These are that best. The best
estimate. So maybe
estimate
it's better to take
October
it a little
1.
Slower, Representative Magnus, than faster.
We're going to make a good Democrat out of you yet to be cautious.
Well, Representative Solberg has lighted me with all this Republican talk about, like, don't spend it till you get it and all this kind of thing.
That's
and
not
let's spend,
Republican
let's
talk.
Spend less than we authorize, less than we really think we're going to spend and all this sort of thing. You sound like you're going to switch here on me, Lord.
We're going to send you to Washington.
Oh, no, you're not.
Come on, spend.
Like Commissioner Hansen, you've heard a little bit of our discussion here.
Thank you.
Give us your thoughts.
Madam Speaker and Senator Pogamiller, I'm available whenever you want. To Senator Pogamiller's question about entering into that area of changing or amending a request versus a new one, you can read the statute as well as I can. It doesn't really specifically mention a process for amendment. We could do it and decide mutually to interpret that way, or if you decide if you want to do a new request, then you know we can. It's easy enough to put a new sheet together, and then you can sign it the same day. I mean,
I think we want to do
as you know, there's a lot of pushback from senior members about this whole process in general.
Yes.
And I think what we want to do is figure out a way to accommodate as much of people's concerns for long-term precedent as possible, because there does seem to be some issues there. And
okay.
The Senate knows that language that's in that statute probably needs to be looked at closely.
I think you passed it at one point.
We know we passed it.
Well,
the governor signed it.
Yeah,
the governor signed it. We all need.
Well, I'm talking about the LEC language in general, not Senator Murphy's process.
Senator Murphy, I didn't mean to be confrontative, but I think we need to look at that language closely.
We're ganging up on you, Senator.
Thanks for poking Senator Murphy right here.
Yeah,
Senator
thanks. Madam Speaker, and in defense of that statute, I thought that everyone was in agreement on that statute. It was part of other requests that were made all around, and I thought it was key, Representative Magnus, to make sure that the minority party was represented in this arena. In the past, they hadn't been. What I'm asking is that if we're going to give $195 million of more spending authority, that, you know, I believe everybody ought to be included. I believe that, you know, it should be all the representatives and all the senators. And I just don't see that it would be a big problem to do this in a very quick special session. Now, that's my preference. Now, this committee might want to go a different direction, and you know, that's a decision for the committee. But that's where I'm at. And the reason why that statute is like that is because we're very insistent that we, as a Senate, you know, we appreciate the input from people like Senator Jungbauer. And, you know, we want to be inclusive, things out in the open, so that letters that were passed around in the past about the, you know, the way that the LAC was being used, so that dries up and goes away. We want everybody at the table, and I think that this is probably, and that's just my opinion, it's probably a decision that 201 members ought to make instead of 8.
Well, Madam Speaker, and to that
Representative
point,
Magnus.
I certainly agree that the full legislature needs to do, first off, on the transportation issues, the transportation committees, they're the ones to handle this sort of thing. I mean, we're living proof, aren't we? This is the third meeting, and now we're sitting here at the end of the third meeting. Gee, I don't know if I can figure it out yet. And we got to meet a few more times, and, you know, I don't know. We've had about almost 20 transportation meetings since the bridge failure, if I include this as one. And I'm trying to figure out what we would do with 201 members. So we probably better start now and start meeting with them, because, you know, this is the third meeting for this group. We've been to two others for sure, bridge hearings with the Transportation Committee. I think the four of us that have been involved with that are, you know, I'm going to have to bring my grain trailer up here to start toting all this information around that we're getting. And
well, I thought you'd bring your grain trailer up and fill it up with something to fertilize your fields.
Well, we can do that.
All right.
Madam Speaker.
Yes, Representative Solberg.
I'm not going to prolong this, but it seems to me, Representative Magnus, that we first start with when you talk about involving all 201, which we should be doing. The very first thing you start with is openness, informing everybody about all the issues, and not wait until you have prod and ask the right question. If we get to that point, I think everyone will feel a lot better about it. I think the Speaker has and the Majority Leader have done an excellent job of leading us down this path, trying our best to get answers that need to be, they should be forthcoming in a very quick fashion without having to be prodded, because we're in this together, and it's been an education for me. I'm sure that's an education for everyone else that needs to be, but in order to be educated, to earn that trust, you have to have information. You have to have information willingly given, and not try to be able to say, well, We're going to wait, and we won't address that issue now some other way with some other group. There's nothing wrong with having a good debate on the House floor.
I think there'll be many ahead.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate those. There's nothing wrong. Hopefully I'm of a fiscal policy mock and not a political person. But I can be political if I need to be when my feathers get ruffled enough. I still am sometimes. But I think you've done a great job on this. And I think some additional information from the Commissioner of Finance is extremely important.
Senator Pogue-Miller has a question.
I know this was raised earlier. I just want to point out that I didn't see the logic of it, but the 75% of the delays would have to be in the metro because that's where the bridge was being built. I just want to mention the logic of that kind of escapes me a little bit, but apparently there was some discussion of that. Because if there's any bridge that's a statewide bridge, it's probably this one. I just want to point out.
Well, when the bridge collapses in my district, I want the metropolitan.
Any further questions or discussion right now? Representative Magnus.
Thank you, Madam Speaker.
For a guy who wants to get out of here, you keep going, man.
As long as it's wet, I'll just sit here and do what we need to do. Madam Speaker, I've been trying to think through the options here that are facing us and facing the state today and facing MnDOT as we think about where we're going to go, and I don't know if you could summarize those, or someone else, I could dive into what I see the options are, and folks can add on to them if you wish.
Sure.
But are we at that point today to do that, or
sure, Representative Magnus, we could, if you want to give it a shot, or I could tell you what I see and have heard.
Try to explain it in my simple mind. Option one to me is to sign the document for the $195 million that we've been presented, and then ask the feds for additional funds when we get a handle on, as time goes on, get a handle on what we're doing. Again, the numbers we had in front of us are the estimates of October 1, and we expect those to change. I think all of us in the room do, and probably the public does. Option two to me would be don't sign the document. Then if the federals and when the federals send the money into to the state, that means MnDOT's got to hold the money. They're not allowed to spend more than they can. Is that not correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Representative Magnus, they can spend the federal money as long as they don't go above their allotment.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So they can't go above their allotment.
About 616.
I think as part of that, you would likely delay these projects or some of these projects that are in MnDOT state wide transportation improvement program projects. And I'm wondering, members, what signal that sends a federal delegation. I would suggest, if I was sitting there in Washington, that if you didn't want to spend the money that we said we'd send to you, don't ask for any more. And an option three to me is sign the agreement, but then don't ask the feds for any additional funds as we go down the road and see what happens with that. That's basically the three options.
So you don't see another option? I would like to hear what the other commissioners add a fourth option then, because I think that's what we were just discussing here with Commissioner Hansen, and that is there seems to be a question about how much and when is needed. And so that is the pieces of information that we've asked the department for in terms of the letting of the bids, because they have signed the bridge contract. And so things did change today. Maybe that bridge contract being signed, if they had not done that, I don't know that this would have been a likely option. But it seems like there's a fourth option here that we at least should explore, which preserves more of the legislative prerogative for 201 members to participate in the larger debate come hopefully February. I mean, I fundamentally agree with Senator Murphy that the best way to have done this was to do a special session. I think that's unlikely for a number of reasons.
So option four would be wait till February then?
No, option four is some hybrid of getting information about what the numbers are on a monthly basis for the bids. And look at that.
And then do what?
Well, I think that what Commissioner Hansen said is they may have to withdraw their current request and put together a new request. And so that may be a possibility here.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Murphy.
Madam Speaker, I think everybody's talking about the same basic five options here. I mean, you can have the 201 members of the legislature do it. You can have Mr. Hansen come back with a different request for a different number and some documentation to pass up or to, you know, support why that number works. And as you said, you could sign the agreement and not ask the feds for the money, or don't sign the agreement and cut projects, or sign the request and ask the feds for money. So I think there's probably five things that that look like they could work. But, you know, I don't think that in your comment about, you know, what kind of signal are we sending the federal government, I don't think it signals anything. You know, positive or neutral. Our congressional delegation sees the things that we do on a daily basis, and sometimes they scratch their head, sometimes they applaud. This is just one that I think that they would probably scratch their head on. I mean, you know, you talk about sending signals. I mean, the governor vetoed two attempts at, you know, at our attempts at trying to pass some sort of finance package. You know, so we could all sit around and play the what-if game, but then again, you know, the candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas thing of ifs and buts. But, you know, so what kind of signal does it send? I mean, who cares? We've sent signals before, and most of the time they're in resolution form, and we get a little note back and says, thanks for your opinion, and we know where they file those. So I don't think we need to worry about that. I think we need to try to maintain the integrity of the fiscal situation that we have at hand, or try to improve the integrity, I should say. Right now it's, you know, the balance of cash and spending authority don't seem to quite jive. And I think that all of us would like to have the department have even more spending authority. But to continue to move that spending authority up, we have to come through with cash, too. And we can only do that if we, you know, pass a bill that improves the cash situation. So we've got five ways of going about it. I think that, you know, a little bit of talk, and we can come to a resolve here. And I don't think that we need to, you know, I don't think we need to monkey around with it for a whole lot longer.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I apologize for leaving the room. You know, I always tell my kids, I don't know how many youth people do this, but never bother me during the day when you know I'm in a meeting unless it's an emergency. So I got three calls from home, and it wasn't an emergency. I assumed it was, but so I went out to answer. So I don't know if you went over this one, but I think, did anybody talk about a draw option?
Yeah.
So draw, come back with each time we needed to float it.
I think that we are going to, with some information from the department and then conversations with the Department of Finance, look at what is in the art of the possible, but also looking towards having more legislators involved in the long, both in the longer term, and you know, these questions about whether there's enough accountability here, whether people feel like they're being asked for too much at this particular moment because of the spending authority and where it's at and when it runs out. And so trying to get some answers to those questions and then working with the Department of Finance. I want to be clear with everyone that we will come back publicly to discuss whatever this is. because I do think, and I believe we all believe, that it is much better when we do our work in public. And so although we will have to have some discussions with the Department of Finance, please stay tuned, because we will need to gather again. So, Commissioner, you want to have the final word?
Well, I just, Madam Speaker, I'm keeping a list of Senator Murphy's words. It was willy-nilly the other day and now ifs and buts. So I'm going to post them on the
It was a good one. It was one that I learned today, too.
The what?
I learned that one today, too.
Yeah, ifs and buts. So I'm just going to keep tracking. My vocabulary will be improved.
I'd known that earlier. We'd have had a better Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. Meeting adjourned. Meeting's adjourned. Gentlemen.
Well, we're all fun, weren't we?
How are you?
Oh, well, that's
as bad as global warming.
Yeah, well, it won't kill us.
It won't kill us. Yeah.
All you want to do is borrow money, spend money.
Oh, you remind me of that.
I also want to
go,
and I hate to say it again.
Right. Then, yeah, then you better go get a clearance from higher up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you looked at this document as close as looked at the other one, but you understand it. I mean, it goes down right at the high point. No, it goes down. Oh, sure. You know.
Because they're afraid that we might pull out some kind of funding package.
And you asked this very special about the cost of bonding. And as you look at our cost of bonding, to borrow $1 billion costs more than $6 billion.
Yeah.
But we pay off.
No, I said that... this is a willy-nilly way of getting out of a sticky wicket.
Of our bonds.
Yeah. Oh, my grandpa had more.
In the first half.
Some of it was, you know, not from mixed company, of course, but he had more than that of those on my
long-term interest.
Keep passing a $1 billion bonding bill every year.
Oh, there was a lot of money.
That's got to come out of somewhere else.
Well, it comes out of everything.
That's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with them. I don't because
they want to
think
long term. Yeah. The rest
of the college.
I'd be all. I'll tell you what. I'd be all for this.
We're good. But we're not spending the federal earmark funds.
And then we're going to get back here another year, Lord.
So we're going to be hauling MnDOT in up here saying, how come you're not spending the federal?
Perfectly clear.
Yes, you can raise that once we're in the state. You can
go one way we draw. Yeah,
February 12th.
Yeah.
I mean, if we never come back,
right. I'm just saying.
The estimate says we're going to let these in the spring, most of them in the spring anyway.
Sometimes when it does sound.